Up with it, girl. Rock with it, girl. Show them it, girl. With a bang bang. Bounce with it, girl. Dance with it, girl. Get with it, girl. With a bang bang.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on. It's Friday night and I won't be long. Gotta do my hair, put my makeup.
Oh, yeah. That's right, baby. Welcome to your overnight.
If I knew how to turn on my Facebook Live, I would.
I mean, if you're not dancing now, you're just not doing it right.
Mark Harmon is putting on quite a display.
Do you realize?
Were you just at a club?
No, I was taking a great nap to get ready to be here with you, Esmeralda.
Were you just out clubbing?
Listen, when I got the invite for Saturday overnight into Sunday to sit in for Dave Plyer after Northwestern football, after the beat, I started doing jumping jacks then. Yes, I am absolutely in. Hi, so and then we got a little Sia for you to start the show. I mean, if you're coming back from the club right now,
he's keeping it going.
It ain't over yet. You just dialed into another party right here, 720 WGN.
What do you call this? It's arms up, like you're pushing something.
It's like the new age raise the roof.
Yeah, you were like, but you were pushing something, but then you were like, you were running in place.
I'm just feeling this.
It's the Mark Harmon.
It's the spirit of the love of the night of the life that it's this
those,
moment.
Those cheap thrills.
Give me a high five. Let's go. Yeah!
Oh, God.
Whiff one. Strike two. There we go. Much better. Woof.
Let it out.
Well, it's like you have to, like, celebrate your moments in life, right? How many times am I going to be... Let's just make this about me.
Okay.
How many times am I going to be sitting here getting to do an overnight show with you, with young Joey Gelman producing the next radio superstar?
Hopefully more than once.
Hopefully,
cross your fingers.
But you just never know. Let's be present. Let's live this dream. I want to actually learn about a young Joey for a minute, Esmeralda. Is that cool?
Yeah. No.
Pressure's on.
I mean, other than making not even fun, but just poking fun at his name.
Even poking fun at his name?
Because it was Gelman, you know, like Regis Kathy Gelman. Okay. Gelman. Okay.
Well, when
that's all I know about him. So I would like to know more about him.
Well, they asked if I could host with you tonight. I said, and who's producing? And they said, Joey Gelman. And I said, oh, I love a good young Jewish man. and Stephanie Menendez asked, well, how do you know he's Jewish? I'm like, come on. Gelman, Carmen, we're all part of the whole same deal here.
Same tribe, don't worry.
Right.
There you go.
I mean, I see myself in Joey, right? That's what I was doing at his age. Making my way into the business. You know, you're 23?
Yes, sir.
And you're a U of I grad?
Yep.
And you're a north suburb, perhaps, individual?
No, I'm from down here, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
Grew up in Lincoln Park.
So you have actual... Okay, so you're...
Oh, he's a Chicago. He's a real Chicago.
Actual buildings and people around me.
So what you got? What do you got? A Latin? You got a Parker?
We
got a Parker. Okay, so Joey's a city guy. Right out of the rough and tumble Parker / Latin hood. You started going there when you were in... First grade, kindergarten?
No, just high school.
Just high school. Okay, where were the grammar school years?
Anchiemet Day School out in Lakeview.
Oh my God. Okay, now we got real. I mean, Joey's got a legit Friday night Shabbat dinner going on at his house. Did your mom make the challah herself, or was that a purchase?
Purchase. The school always had on Fridays you could buy.
So you could buy it on Friday, right?
But we had friends that made them, and they put the honey interweaved in them. It was phenomenal.
Oh God, a good
for
honey.
Dreams come true.
Oh.
I want some.
What you gotta change
what?
Your name.
Do you know what we're talking
about? Oh, only you guys get to eat it?
No, just kidding.
Cool. I'll bring
I
some
give you
next
guys
week
tacos.
For you. I'll bring some next week for you.
Oh, that's funny.
Rabbi Raj Rabat is just here presiding.
Blessings.
I'm the only one. I'm the odd lady out.
We got a tribe thing going here, you know?
Radish, are you a
we
rabbi?
Need t-shirts. You need t-shirts.
No, but I play one on the radio.
Okay. Because you look like a rabbi,
you sound
like a rabbi, you probably live the life of a rabbi, you know, you're perfect.
Not necessarily so, but we'll go with that.
Well, I like to create a new Roger Badish every show.
I know.
Oh, like a different persona for him?
Yeah.
He's a man of many personas.
Right. Like, I had him as Roger Badish. I don't think
you
he didn't like that one too much.
Well,
but,
that's all right.
Yeah. But I like Tough Guy Badish. Like, Roger Badass.
He's a man of many faces.
Right. So
the one right now is hurting.
Let's get back to Young Joey. I know that Young Joey, you want to be in sports. Is that the deal? I want to build your career right now.
My career.
Yes.
You're speaking to Mark Sports Carmen right here.
That's true.
You've got sports desires. Is this accurate?
I believe so, yeah. I hosted a bunch in college of the riveting Tim Beckman Illini football team. But now they actually are watchable. So it was
52-3.
Yeah, it was a big win today.
Lovey. Debut for the Love Dove down there in Champaign, beating Murray State.
Yeah,
it's not focused on the Murray State part, but that's a nice win for Illinois. Okay, so what's your favorite sport?
Favorite sport? I'm a baseball guy, true and true, but the Bears are a second religion in my house. So
okay.
It varies between both of those.
And you, by the way, who's in this house? Brothers, sisters?
Just me and my parents.
Oh wow, so you're the only child.
The only one.
Wow.
Oh boy. You got brothers and sisters?
I have a brother.
Who got more attention, you or your brother?
I did, because I'm the baby. And I'm a girl, so.
Did you know that you were, like, hoarding the attention? You say it with so much pride right now.
No, because my brother, he's 7 years older than me. So there's that split, too.
Oh, okay.
When I was a baby and a kid, he was much older. So it was all on me.
Interesting. Did you have older parents, Joey, or they just want to just have one because they loved you so much?
I'll go a mixture of both in case they're listening so they don't yell at me.
Oh. Fair enough. Okay, and so you want to be a play-by-play guy, a talk show host, a TV guy. What do you want to do?
I like hosting the most, I think.
Okay.
So I like hosting, but then also, you know, the uppity-ups upstairs, the programming side is kind of interesting, too, but I think the hosting most of kind of what you guys do.
Carmen.
Well, when you just went through, I always watching back.
No, you're fine. We're good here.
No, trust me, I'm not fine. I'm these are all temporary moments in time. I'll probably, one of these days, I'll get the call. Carmen, you're out. Thank you for the service, and I'll say thank you for having me, and that'll be it.
Well, from what you told me earlier.
What did I say earlier?
Your dreams.
Oh, I do.
We need to talk about this because I was floored when you told me this.
All right.
Joey's dream, hosting, sports.
Right.
Radio, TV, does it matter? All of it?
He wants to
I'm more comfortable with radio.
He wants to be the next Colin Cowherd.
Oh, God.
No, he doesn't like Colin Cowherd. I think Colin does a good job. Well, who's your favorite outside of present company? Esmeralda and yours truly. Your favorite sports talk radio host in the country at any point in time. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. What if they're competitors, though?
That's fine. You can say it.
I'm more, as controversial as it is, I'm more of a Boris and Bernstein guy.
I knew you were going there. Oh, that's fine. Hey, talented dudes.
I've got to stay within the tribe, so I can't spread out.
Right, there you go.
Well, they're talented guys, and they've been doing it for a long time. So, that's a fair take.
Now,
yes.
Your dream. So Gelman's dream.
Okay, that's
TV, radio, sports hosting. You.
So I and I had the big announcement today on the beat at 5 o'clock. It was myself and Kevin Powell earlier today, and so I shared this with the WGN listeners, and I want them to hold me accountable. But so I always wanted to be in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
MLB. Like, okay. I literally had dreams growing up that I was BJ Armstrong. Like, that, like, it was like a visceral, full feeling.
Yeah.
I had a dream that I was Sean Dunstan hitting a, you know, a home run down the left field line. I can, like, literally feel running around the bases like that happened to me, except it happened at 3 a.m. and I wasn't awake like I am now. I could literally feel like I hit a bomb. But that, of course, didn't happen. And then, I kind of, like, had this epiphany 10 years ago. And never did anything about it, that, well, maybe I could be like an NBA ref. Maybe I could be an NFL ref just to be on the field and to be out there and experience it that way. But I'm not really a big rules guy. And, you know, you got to do a whole lot of high school. And there's a whole road to that. And you have to start super young. Even at 30, you're late. So I had a couple days off this week, so I went with my brother and one of my buddies to my favorite sporting event, which is the U.S. Open in beautiful New York City. And so I highly, 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 highly recommend people, even if you're not like a diehard tennis guy like I am. It's just an amazing event, and it's generally affordable. you are in New York, you got to figure out where you're staying. There is that. But it's just a great time. Great, mm-hmm. great time. Yes.
I just want to say, let's take a break.
Oh, really?
And then you can tell us this big old thing.
It's Esmeralda's got to do things on time.
Sorry.
Rules.
People paid for these things, I think.
Okay, okay. When we come back,
you can tell your big old secret.
I forgot.
Which is not really a secret, but, you know.
Right, high five. Give me a high five.
This is morning time hours, so people probably podcasted your sports talk.
Okay.
And
okay.
Now they're listening live.
Okay.
So they don't know.
We tease the next segment. How what are we setting up? What are we doing?
Your big dream.
My big dream next.
Yeah, up next.
On 720.
I want to hear it.
On 720 WGN. Nice job, Joey Gelman. A little dream on. Elif Jarris is still here, too. I want to give a shout-out to Elif. Superstar young producer as well. Going to be dominating in the Elif world. We got
Elif. In the Elif world? Elif will dominate?
Elif was super tired when I walked in, and she looked like she was going to just completely fall asleep in the booth and not even drive home. And then we did jumping jacks. And Elif, how do you feel right now?
You know what? I feel maybe 1 degree better.
It's 1 degree better.
I'll take a 1 degree better. So what you're saying is that I impacted your life in an incredibly positive way and you owe me gratitude.
Yeah, it definitely counts.
See? I mean, 68 degrees is better than 67.
68 is better than 67.
So.
Especially down here.
Right?
Exactly.
Well, you did a great job tonight, Elif, and I look forward to seeing you at your next WGN appearance.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good
show. See? Joey, do you feel 1 degree better, or are you about the same?
I feel pretty good right now. I mean, you bumped the energy up a ton.
Esmeralda, how do you feel?
I feel good.
Yeah.
I took a long nap, so, you know.
How long was your nap? I want to give me a breakdown.
Like 3 hours.
Me too.
I fell asleep on the couch.
Were you like 9 to midnight?
No, 2 to 5.
Oh, this afternoon.
Yeah. I was sleepy.
Okay. So you've been up for a long time. See, I went solid like 9:30 to 12:30.
Right. Well, this is my normal time, so.
I crushed a pizza tonight.
Ooh.
Just I got a new.
What kind?
We went special. Marie's up on.
Yes, on Lawrence?
Yes.
Yeah.
Underrated the Marie's.
Did you go there or did you get it delivered?
Went, picked up, got to go in.
The place is the best.
Right?
The old school.
I mean, you feel like you're in the 50s.
Yeah. Have you been when there's a band?
I have been with, like, it's like not even a band. It's like polka. And
right. Does he come around? I think the one time I was there, the dude was coming around.
Does who come around?
Like the singer.
Oh.
He was like, and you're like, no, just don't look at him. Don't look at him. He won't come over.
I did not have that experience. Let's pay off the tease here because people are very in tune here. 2:22 a.m. Good morning. Hope you had a great night wherever you're at. 720 WGN. So I have decided that my next goal in life is to be a 2017 U.S. Open ball boy.
What?
That's it. So I went to the Open, and I'm looking at the guys that are behind the court. They're at the net, and they're sprinting, getting balls. They're firing balls from one end of the court to the other. They're in rapport with the players on the court. They give them the towel. They take the towel back. You know, player plays a point, hits 20 balls, sweating. Towel. You got to run, give the towel. You have to open up the towel wide. You give it to the player. They wipe out the sweat. They hand it back to you. Sometimes they look at you. Sometimes they don't. This is not. It's not an easy gig. This gig.
What about a judge?
Yeah, that's boring.
The ones on the top.
I think it's more fun to be throwing the ball. Like you're. I want more activity.
Do you throw the ball?
Yes.
Don't you just pick it up and then run away?
No. So like, what happens is, you know, the balls are on the end of the court of the server.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. You know, so that guy serves or that woman serves, and then match is over or that game is over. Ball's got to go down the other end of the court. Wham! Firing it down. Or
to the other ball boy.
To the other ball boy. Right.
Now, let me just tell you.
There's six ball boys, ball girls on the court at one time, I believe. At least six.
I don't want to be disrespectful, but didn't dogs do this at one point?
Whoa.
Like, they had dogs doing it.
Nah, there's never dogs doing
it. Are you
sure? I'm pretty positive.
I feel like I saw that on the news. Some dogs running around picking up the balls.
And then giving them to the player. No, see, I don't know where.
They're fetching because they're dogs and then they get their tennis balls, so it's like their crack.
Okay.
They were real excited about it.
I'm not saying that a dog couldn't.
I mean, I think it was a one-off. So I think you could, But no, cool. What's the age for a ball boy?
So, okay, here, let me give you the details here, because there's a whole gig.
What about baseball? Don't they have one too?
No, not like this is upper level. Approximately 80 sought after positions as ball persons for the 2016. Now I'm going to be on for 17. U.S. Open are up for grabs. Prospective ball persons will be evaluated by U.S. Open officials on their running, throwing, and catching skills. So you have to fill out a waiver. Now you must bring a completed and signed waiver in order to participate in the tryouts. Applicants 14 to 17 must have a legal guardian sign the form.
Okay.
I am older than 14 to 17, right. So I do not need a legal guardian. This year the tryouts were June 23rd, 3 p.m. Eastern, at the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center in Flushing. So you get to go on the court, which is cool enough.
Right.
And they're going to test you for three things. There are three things: running, throwing, catching. Now,
you got those?
I'm very good. I feel like I'm real solid on the running, great on the catching. The throwing is going to be what I'm going to be working on in the next year. Because, you know, I can throw.
You got to do overhand, underhand.
I mean, to throw a tennis ball from one end of the court to the other.
Curveball?
I mean, it's a pretty long throw, Esmeralda.
How far is it? How long is the tennis?
Joey Goldman, get on that. How long is a tennis court? Find that out, please. And then you got to add on space behind. So I think the average tennis court, I'm going to say it's 100 feet. I should have looked that up beforehand. Good question. It's a very good question.
78 feet.
78 feet for the court. So you're talking about behind the court. I'm right on. It's about 100.
Okay. By the way, in 2015 in New Zealand, these dogs were ball boys for Venus Williams.
How do you remember that stuff?
Because it was dogs getting the balls, okay. And I thought it was the cutest thing on earth.
Do you have animals in the Esmeralda house?
I do. I have a cat.
Now that just ruins it.
What? I had a dog.
Okay.
I had a dog growing up.
Allergic to cats.
Well, sorry.
So am I.
See, now Joey's allergic
to... Take a Claritin. No. What are you... I mean, these things can be avoided now.
Yeah. Oh, well... Okay, you're right. They can. You get gear. You get a Ralph Lauren, like a polo.
Oh yeah, very
right.
Nice.
Uh huh. Polo shirt, shorts. You get polo shoes.
What are polo shoes?
Like they're gym shoes, but they got the polo on there. You know, it's big time.
The picture.
Yeah, the
logo.
The horse.
Is that the only? Okay.
You know, we're playing polo, getting after it.
I see.
It's a little elitist. I get it.
I'm sure you look great in white.
When these are blue.
Oh, okay.
The nice, solid, dark blue.
But it's a white shirt.
Mm-mm.
No, it's all blue.
Blue shirt, blue shorts, blue and white shoes. Blue. Whole lot of blue.
What's the oldest?
The oldest ball boy?
Yeah.
I saw one guy who definitely was my age or older, was out of shape, and had like a sleeve on his leg, and he was like kind of hobbling around out there. And I've seen him for a couple of years now.
Okay, so you got that.
Physically, I'm not going to be at the bottom. I won't be at the top. Some of these ball boys are like Carl Lewis in their prime. Usain Bolt in his prime. I mean, they're pretty quick.
You know what? Good luck. Good luck.
How will you support me in this?
I will be out on the track with you.
You will?
With a stopwatch. Okay. Yelling at you.
Okay.
And a towel.
Okay. Okay.
Although I'll make you grab the towel. It'll be wet and I'll make you squeeze out the sweat.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a bold move. 312-981-7200. We're going to get into news in about a minute here. But what we'd like to do is open it up to you. What dreams have you not realized?
That... How long have you had this dream, by the way?
5-7 years.
Oh, okay. All right.
Something
so it's
like
been
that.
Long...
Yeah, I think the first time I went, I just wanted to be the ball boy. And so, and then I asked a guy in the corner who was a linesman, I'm like, how do you get to be a ball boy? And he just complete disgust. He's like, ask a ball boy. I'm like, well, I'm asking you, sir.
Now you're going to be that guy.
I'm going to be which guy?
Ask the ball boy.
No, I'm going to be cool, man.
Okay.
I'm going to be like, this is how you do it.
You'll be welcoming?
This is how you do it. This is what you do. Get yourself in shape. Not that easy, but it's doable. You just got to commit. I mean, if somebody
I like it.
Right?
So we're going to see listeners who has dreams that they have not realized?
Right. And let's put it out there. 312-981-7200. Dreams that you made, like, I'm willing to hear regrets, right? Something that you didn't do that you wish you had done, or something that you're, you know what, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm making that move.
And we're going to motivate, too.
Yeah. I'm putting it on the record right now, 2:30 in the morning, Labor Day weekend. Stamping it.
Yeah. We'll try to convince you, too, if you're a little hesitant on your dreams.
Right. When we want to inspire. I want to be inspired. I want to be inspired by you. 312-981-7200. We give to break before Badish. Break before Badish. Roger.
Yo.
We'll be with you in 30 seconds. We'll get your news in 30. Esmeralda, you're mad, aren't you? We're late for news.
No, it's okay. Really? We were talking about your dreams.
Okay, good. Roger's news, 30 seconds, 720 WGN. Hate to do this to you, Roger, but I got to read this text. 214. I heard Joey with Brian Noonan and was quite impressed. The Gel Man sounds fantastic on the radio. I swear I don't know him. It's from the 214. Joey, does this person know you?
I don't know a 214, actually.
He just has one of those great voices and sense of humor. Carm, seven more Jews in the studio, you got a minion. There you go. And then from the 502 on Seinfeld, Kramer was a ball boy. Yeah, I see myself being better than Kramer was on Seinfeld.
No, for sure.
Right. I mean, I'm taking
bottom of the barrel.
I'm legit taking this serious. Like, I want to get out there and live dreams and I want to make it easy on the players. I don't want to be a nuisance. I just want, you know, they won't even notice.
You're going to be the best ball boy ever.
They won't even know that I'm there, but I'll always be ready for them.
Esmeralda, you know how you train them? You get one of those machines that fires the tennis balls.
Oh, and shoot it at them?
Just start shooting it at, like, different parts of the court across the net.
Oh, I was going to shoot it
run
at him
until he just collapses.
That's a good idea, Roger.
Yeah.
Noted. As your trainer, apparently.
I like that idea.
There you go.
Okay. Roger, it's time for your news on 7. It's 2:32. Time for the Roger Badish News on 720 WGN. WGN 235. Good morning. Hope you had a great Saturday night. Esmeralda, Leon, I'm Mark Harmon with you till 5. We're in for Dave Plyer. Esmeralda, name a dream that you have not realized in your life that you want to put out there right now. No pressure.
Be a dancer.
Really?
Yeah. I like dancing, and I feel like if I got a little more in shape, I could probably be one of them contemporary dancers.
Like dancing behind some music star?
No, like
Dancing with the Stars?
No, I mean, if I was a celebrity and I could do Dancing with the Stars, I would totally go for that. That sounds like fun, getting to train and do all that and learning all those moves.
I just saw a complete change of face right now.
When I was a kid, I was a huge, like, I love dancing and all that.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was a little kid and I would just bop around, but.
So, okay, what's the vision here? What type of dance are we talking?
I'm too old now, even if I did train.
Age is a mindset.
Ballerinas and all that.
Oh,
and I think
I'm
too short for a ballerina.
Right. Okay, now we're talking real.
But like contemporary dancing where they're all in those flowy outfits, and that would be neat. You know, I was in the background.
Yeah.
And they have amazing bodies. Dancers' bodies are the best.
Yes, they are. No lie there. Okay.
So even if I can get that way, like, hey.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it just got real in here. I feel a change. Roger?
Yeah.
Come on. What should I do?
What dream have you not realized in your life that you want to put out there that you can maybe hit?
I've only got two dreams that I have not realized in my life. I've realized all of my major dreams except two.
Okay. What are the two?
One is I am not inherently rich.
Okay.
Which leads to my second dream that I have not realized, which is owning my own radio station.
You want to own your own radio station?
Even if it's out in the middle of a farm field somewhere in North Dakota.
How much do those cost?
Okay.
A pretty penny, unfortunately.
All right, but so what we need is to get some money together.
Yeah, do a GoFundMe so
there
I can
go.
Buy about a $300,000-$400,000 radio station.
Is that that much?
Oh, yes, they are.
I mean, in the world of of money.
Yes.
No, she's saying it's not that much dough.
It's not that much.
Oh, not that much dough. Oh,
well, I was thinking in the million range.
I'm saying,
well, I mean, if I want to go to a larger market, they start
Well, start small. Start small, think big.
But I'm not, I don't want a larger, I just want my own radio station.
You want your little guy that you can baddish up and you can, and, I
what
like
would
it.
Do you have any ideas of what you would call it?
Roger Baddish Network.
Well, it depends on what side of the Mississippi I'm on. It'll either be WBAD or KBAD.
Oh, I love it.
So,
it's so good. You need a GoFundMe.
All right. I'm envisioning you and Dixon, Illinois. What do you think?
It's not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, you're close enough.
Ronald Reagan's hometown?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Not too far. Two hours, right?
Not quite in the Chicago market, but still on the edge.
But you can touch it. You could talk.
Yeah.
You could talk Cubs baseball.
A little 10-watt station.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is possible.
I think we can do this, Roger.
You get a GoFundMe and invent something. You should probably invent something so you can make some money.
All right. So, okay.
What can I invent?
I don't know. Rack your brain.
But that hurts too much. At my stage of the game, hurts too much.
It's funny that you bring up invent, because I was thinking about this the other day. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, if I was one of the first people on Earth, I don't think I would have invented the chair. Like, I'm pretty certain we would have been sitting on the ground and would have been eating with a stick. Like the chair, the fork, the spoon, all that stuff that they invented. And then you look around, just real basic stuff. Like, how is there even electricity? Who figured that out? And I know who figured it out. But like, how in the world did you get that done?
No, I think the same way. Telephones, Wi-Fi. I'm like, how does someone even think, yeah, this can go through there or whatever? I'm like, huh?
We're going to figure it out that somebody can speak into this microphone and they can hear you wherever.
Around the world.
I mean, how?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Funny you say this, but I was reading an article. Cornell University welcomes this year a 12-year-old college freshman.
Good right.
Lord. He's going to study, and he's going to be in the engineering school at Cornell University. He's the youngest Ivy League school student they have on record.
And what's his background?
Being a kid. What do you mean?
Like,
he's homeschooled. He is homeschooled. Well, he's a homeschooled child of two aerospace engineers.
Thank you. That's what I'm talking about.
But still, he has insane smarts and things like that, which makes me, again, another dream. And I was talking about this yesterday with John Hansen, where I should have studied a little harder in school.
Well, and so for this young gentleman who's 12 years old going to Cornell.
Mm-hmm. And be a freshman.
Whose parents are aerospace engineers.
Yeah.
Like, his issue, and maybe he doesn't need this, but I would think, like, a guy like that, his issue is going to be, like, how do you be in rapport with anyone, right?
That's what I was thinking. Like, what a social
misfit
must he be? Yeah. He's
right?
Homeschooled, so I wonder how many friends he has.
Right.
No one's going to want to really talk to him in college.
And you could be homeschooled and be in a million different activities and have lots of friends if your parents do it the right way. I'm sure those people are out there nowadays, and more people are being homeschooled because our school system is what
right.
it is. So doesn't mean that you have to be socially awkward, but if I was his parents, as I give aerospace engineers who are crushing the world advice, I would make
right?
sure I would be making sure that he's doing a lot of stuff with kids his age, because you can't just being smart is great, but you also have you got to learn how to be with people too, right?
Yeah. Get so, this. What were you doing when you were two?
What was I doing when I was two?
Yeah.
I probably was still in a diaper, and
I hope not. I don't think you should
at
be
two years
two.
At 2 years old.
No, don't they like trade you out? Anyway, he was reading books in English and Korean.
English
you
and
know.
Korean at two.
Yeah, you know. And at six, he was studying calculus.
And at six, he
cool.
was...
Cool. I still have not studied calculus.
Me neither. High five
again.
I am
33 years old. And I stayed away. I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
312-981-7200. What dreams have you not realized? Put them out there right now.
They can be small dreams.
And they can be small. 312-981-7200. You put it out there right now. There's a reason that you are listening to this show right now at 2:42 in the morning. If you put it out there, it just becomes that much more real, moving you into that direction.
And also, at least for me, I find middle of the night is the best time to, when all these like dreams bubble up.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I could do that. And then you start
right.
thinking.
You got to make it real.
I could do this and that and that.
Yeah. All right. 312-981-7200. Anthony, welcome to 720 WGN. Way to lead, Anthony. Way to get out there. What do you got?
I always set my goals high, and I like to drive the Wienermobile.
I think that's a good. I think you could do that.
Wait, wait. You want? What do you want to drive? You want to drive the Wienermobile?
Yeah, I hear though. I don't have my college degree, and I think you have to have a college degree to drive it.
The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think all you need is a driver's license.
Where would you like to drive this vehicle, Anthony?
Any place. Any place. Even just to work, just to show the guys, because they always say, what else would you like to do? I says, boy, I'd love to drive the Wienermobile. And they all look at me and laugh. I'm 54 years old.
Okay.
And they says,
hang on a
That's
second.
That's pretty cool,
I will
actually.
Say, it does say
Wienermobile.
You need to.
The Oscar Mayer.
I got the application here. You do need to be a college graduate.
Really?
But you could totally do junior college.
Well, I do have an associate degree.
Well, there you go. That's 2 years. That's enough.
It says college. What? I mean, that's enough, right?
Yeah.
Does college graduate mean 4 years?
Wienermobile is the name of a series of automobiles. This is according to Wikipedia, which never gets anything wrong. Shaped like a hot dog on a bun, which are used to promote and advertise Oscar Mayer products in the United States. The first version was created in, how well do you know this, Anthony?
I think it was in the late 50s.
1936 by Oscar Mayer's nephew, Carl G. Mayer, and variants are still used by the Oscar Mayer company today. Drivers of the Wienermobile are known as?
Weenies.
Hot doggers. And often hand out, can you hand out a toy whistle shaped as replicas of the Wienermobile known as?
It's the Oscar Mayer Wiener Whistles.
That's right, the Wiener Whistles.
Yeah.
All
you
right.
You gotta be up on this.
Mayer Wiener. That is what I always want to be.
Come on, Anthony, you gotta know the song.
If I was an Oscar Mayer Wiener, everybody would be in love with me.
Perfect.
Very good.
I
yeah.
say you go to the website, go to the Oscar Mayer website, and you fill out an application.
The Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Do it, man.
I'll put the horn for you guys.
Are you driving right now, Anthony?
No. If I get it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's for a 1 year position anyway.
Hang on.
Well, here's what you do. You get it. You mm-hmm. drive down Michigan Avenue. You park out in front of the Tribune Building.
Mm-hmm.
You hand out the whistles, and everyone has to whistle the Oscar Mayer theme song.
They would love
Sounds
you.
Great.
And then
like
you can
quartet,
go.
You know?
And then you yell, "Thank you, Mark Harmon and Esmeralda Leon." For helping me fulfill my dream.
Anthony, hold on. Before you go, were you sleeping and rolling over, put the radio on? I mean, how did you get to us tonight?
No, my wife is a high school teacher, and she's a restless sleeper, and she kicked me out of bed, so that's why I'm here. So I'm still
is she having
hoping for my goals.
Is she having nightmares about lesson plans?
You better believe
it. Oh, my gosh.
Roger can relate to that. Hey, Anthony, so you snore, and she was like, enough with your snoring, get out of bed?
No, it's the other way around.
Yeah.
And she's like a whipper, you know. She just whips her arm around, you know. So.
How long have you been married?
18 years.
Well, okay. So that's love. That's beautiful.
That's it.
All right. Well, Anthony, you make this happen, pal, and you check back in, all right?
Sounds great to me. Thanks, guys.
All right. Anthony's going to be an Oscar Mayer Wiener driver. I believe it.
I think you could do it.
The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is involved from Carl Mayer's original 1936 vehicle to the vehicle seen on the road today. Although gas rationing kept the Wienermobile off the road during World War II, in the 1950s, Oscar Mayer and the Gerdensteier Company created several new vehicles using a Dodge chassis and Willys Jeep. One of these models is on display at the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn, Michigan. Anthony's getting this done.
Or he could just go to the museum and see it.
Right.
I mean, that could be a dream, too.
The Oscar Mayer Wiener. Not my favorite wiener, but yet there's a lot of history with that wiener. Tremendous.
Uh-huh.
Right. Stood the test of time. 312-981-7200. Dreams that you have not realized. Put it out there right now, and you're just one step forward, one step closer to making it come true. Adam. Welcome to 720 WGN. What do you got, Adam?
Hey, man. Thanks. You guys are awesome. I don't know where this came from. I came from the Olympics, but I didn't know it was in me. But I've always wanted to do synchronized swimming.
You want to be a synchronized swimmer, Adam?
I just love the dance routine they walk out to. I don't know what it is. It just gets me, and I think I want to be that.
No, wait. Do you want to be a duo, or do you want to be in those groups?
Oh, good question. I think the group, because it looks like a lot more fun. I like the hand walk thing. The group for sure.
Now, do you have good leg strength?
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, there you go. Arms are good, too?
Arms are good, yeah. I'm a bass guitar player, so that might
Oh, see? There
good.
We go. We're already shaking.
I got the groove, and I got the arms and the legs, yeah. So.
Are you coming from a show right now?
Yes, we are. I'm in the car. Half of us are sleeping, and we are driving back into the city.
Where'd you play tonight?
We played at Blarney Island.
Blarney Island.
Pretty nuts out there.
I could imagine on a Saturday night.
What's your role in the band, Adam?
I'm playing bass.
All right. So you're a bass player, which is that's a high level talent right there. What else? What other reasons could you give why you think you could be a good synchronized swimmer?
I think the bass and the beat and the rhythm like that is good. Mm-hmm. My arms are good. I like to swim. I can hold my breath for a long time.
Great.
And I can sometimes do tricks underwater. I'm good at diving. That helps.
Okay.
See, I think, I mean, you got pretty much everything.
I like what you're doing here.
Couple lessons.
How old are you, Adam?
35.
35, that's, hey. And so what level would you like to do this at? Like if it was just, what happens if you were just like with a group of synchronized swimmers that met once a week at the local pool? Would that satisfy you or do you want more?
No, that's good. That's a good question. And I think that would satisfy me. Just like
I
don't need to be an Olympic status, but I'd like to have it like a regular like schedule, like rehearsals and meeting. I want to have it like we go to the pool and do it. I want to like meet them. And we do it like on the regular. People know about us.
Okay, I like it. Hang on.
I got a question. Do you want to be just a doer, or would you like to be part of the choreographers that put the routines together?
Oh.
Do you want to just be like, oh, I can do this and this and this, and that looks nice, and I'll do that? Or do you want to be like, here's the music we're going to do, we're gonna mix this with that, and I want you guys to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I'm into that. I would definitely like to be a part of it. As a musician, too, I might have some good insight for that. And also, I think that they should do that. I think it might change the game a lot, because it's like, I bet the ones that do in the Olympics don't have any say in that. If they did, It would change all. Like, I think the floor people in the Olympics have a call on what they do for their like music, but the swimmers don't do that. So yeah, I would love to be a part of that. I feel like that could now change things.
Anthony, are you on? I'm sorry, Adam. Are you on Twitter?
Yes, I am.
Okay, wait. Hang on a second. We're gonna make this happen. So there is a group called Sea Star Chicago Synchronized Swimming. Seize the day, and they're at Sea Star Chicago. So I'm gonna connect you two. Hey, yeah. At Sea Star Chicago.
Thank you.
Hang on, let me get my typing. Can be a challenge at time. There it is. Hey, at Sea Star Chicago. The next member of your group.
Keep it within the limits now.
I got you. I got is and go, what's your Twitter? Is at go ahead.
It's at Adam 11 ELEVEN.
At Adam 11, go ahead. Oh, I got you.
Yeah, just yeah, cool.
We are making dreams happen.
At Adam,
you guys are wondering. You guys are like Santa Claus.
At Adam 11 ELEVEN. Oh, you spelled it out. At Adam 11, I got you.
Yeah.
At Adam 11, there he is. All right, so
then if you want to check him out, they're going to be at the Wilbur Wright College October 17th. There's a whole water show and it's free.
You guys are amazing. I didn't even know I would get to this level, and I'm really excited. That's awesome.
We're doing what we can. Now it's up to you now, Adam, and Esmeralda and I are around the station, so we expect to hear from you at some point. You got to follow up with us, okay?
Now Adam,
I'll be promoting it. I can't wait to see you guys in an event too.
Now, real quick, you know this does have Olympic capabilities, because if you do this enough and compete enough, at some stage you might be qualified to become an Olympic judge.
Whoa.
I'm just throwing that out there.
That's quite a jump. Synchronized swimmer to Olympic judge.
Seriously, where do the judges come from?
That is true.
They have to have done this.
And then you get to go to whatever country the Olympics are at, so that could be... It's probably free, too. They pay for you.
James, you guys are just too much. You're right. I this could be a whole different life for me. I,
Exactly. And you can thank Mark Carmen and Esmeralda Leon and WGN.
Now, I got to say we're having a slight issue here because I want to be... So, at C-Star Chicago did not pop up on Twitter. So, you're going to have to get to Facebook. But there is there's a SEA Star Chicago on Facebook. So, it's going to be on you, Adam. You can do this. Okay?
I believe in myself. You guys have put it in me, and I'm really excited. I thank you so much.
You got it. Okay. Good luck, Adam.
Yeah, thanks. Have a great night. We'll see you soon. Talk to you soon.
All right. My guy Adam wants to be a synchronized swimmer. We did what we could.
This worked out.
I mean, 312.
Two people already.
Right? We got
their dreams.
The Wienermobile is on the way, uh-huh. and we got a synchronized swimmer. You're next. 312-981-7200. What dream have you not realized? We will do our very best for you. Esmeralda, you know what it's time for?
What?
It's a quick timeout because we got to be on time. Rogers News also coming up, 720 WGN. So I'm trying to figure out the Gelman bumps here. Whip it. Somehow that's tied into something we're doing.
Because we're whipping people into shape?
Is that what it is?
That works.
Like, sure.
720 WGN, good morning. Or... hope you're having a great late night, making it happen, living that dream, make it a night to remember. We're going to continue our dream living with Jeff Jenkins after the 3 o'clock news. He's in the Midnight Circus, which comes to a neighborhood by you. I kind of always wanted to be in the circus, too.
I mean, who didn't want to run away with the circus?
What right? would you be, though? What would you do in the circus?
That's a good question, Roger. The one job that I didn't want, which is what I thought was the worst job ever, and I know that elephants now are no longer in the circus because that practice has stopped because animal rights people thought it was wrong, and that's cool. I will miss the elephants in the circus.
I mean, it always smelled so... Ugh.
Right, but there one of the guy's gigs in the circus was to run behind the elephant with a shovel to catch the boulder that came out.
Oh, boy. I would be scared that the elephant just decided, you know what, I'm gonna take a breather here and sit down.
I mean,
and then he sits on you.
That was that dude's gig. Like, he was just had to be in tune with the elephant that mid walk around the whole circus thing was just gonna go into the number two. And then he had to catch the thing, which was, I mean, it was literally a bowling ball, if not more.
Wow. Probably had very good arm
That's
strength.
What you wanted to do.
It's not. That was the one gig I didn't want. Anything
didn't want. Okay.
Anything
okay.
else I'm in for.
What okay. are you thinking? Like, there's a hat with jobs and you just have to pick one and one guy got that?
You see, and there's a list of different jobs on your application.
That one's at the
elephant,
bottom.
Elephant dung collector.
There was just something about, it's just the traveling around the country part that I romanticized. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything in the circus that I could actually do. I'm certainly not going to be.
Come on.
What about the announcer?
Couldn't
ride
tight rope walker?
Yeah.
Zero chance on
no.
that.
Okay.
Can't clowns freak me out.
I love clowns. I'd be a clown.
You
oh,
would be
gosh.
A clown. Yes, you would. Absolutely would
I would
be.
Have a blast.
You'd be, you really, you would be a great clown.
You should go to the school.
I know.
Baddish,
not a dream of mine, but it's something I wouldn't mind doing.
Yeah.
So if somebody just comes up like, oh my God, we ran out of clowns.
I feel like you
Roger,
were a clown.
You
raise my hand. Oh, I'll give it a shot.
Would you be an announcer though, Mark?
I sure I'd love, but that seems
like
the
top hat.
Now, from the greatest circus from all across the land.
I would not do that voice. Yeah,
you
don't.
No. Well, but those guys all have big voices. You got to be a big voice guy. I couldn't just be like, now here's the circus. Like, you gotta come strong there.
Now, ladies and gentlemen and children of all ages, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus presents...
Roger Baddish the Clown. 872 texting, and my big dream was to have my own radio show. You can do it.
Yeah, you can. If we schmoes can do it.
Right. I mean, look at what's going on right now. Are you kidding me? There can be no better inspiration than these three, four, Baddish, Gelman, Carmen, and Leon, living dreams. You can do this. Trust me. Takes a little bit of perseverance here and there. Right?
Yeah. It does.
Yeah. Okay. You want me to get it to news? I got it. You got the. You're. It's your turn, Esmeralda.
I don't have the thing.
You don't have the. Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You don't. Oh, I do.
Jeez. See, okay. You couldn't do this job.
Yeah. Midnight Circus. Jeff Jenkins. Right after the 3 o'clock news. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. 3 o'clock on the button with the news. Here's Roger Baddish. Yes. We're talking about dreams tonight, making dreams happen. We're going to talk to Jeff Jenkins from the Midnight Circus, who you can see today, 3 o'clock.
It's going to be at 744 East 103rd Street.
She's Esmeralda Lee, and I'm Mark Carmen. Good morning, 308. Jeff's going to be up in 1 second, but William texted in about his dreams, and he wants to have his own radio show. So we want to make William's dream happen. William, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks. You got a great station.
There you go. That's the first thing you want to do is always suck up to the people that are in power. Not that we really have any power, but that's a good start. William, how old are you?
I'm 45.
Okay, you're a young man. Your entire life is in front of you. Now, do you have any radio background?
No, the closest I ever came was in high school when a friend of mine and I kind of did our own mock radio show on tape.
It's still doable.
Do you have the tapes for us? Can we get that?
No, unfortunately, I don't. This is like back in the late 80s, early 90s.
So okay. Maybe he's going to have to do another one.
Right. So,
do another fake.
And of course, I was kidding there, William. We don't want the tapes from 30 years ago. What we do want you to do is, William, can you start podcasting? Do you have a computer?
That's good, yeah.
No, I don't. I just have a cell phone, and I have a hunch podcasting's kind of expensive.
Not expensive.
What I want to try to do. Oh, it's not?
No. Joey, help this gentleman out. What can he do with his phone? You're a technological wizard, I'm assuming.
You can record your whole podcast on your phone.
Yeah.
And then it's good to go.
Boom, done.
Just on your phone, William. You have a recording device on there. Done.
Yeah, I think it came with a voice recorder.
Right.
There you go.
The thing about doing a YouTube channel.
That works.
You can do that too.
As well.
Now you need a camera and a video, and you got to upload it, which you're making a little bit more complicated, but not too complicated. You sound like you could get that done too.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I know my phone has a camera on it.
Right. You got a camera phone.
Done.
You can upload it. Bam. And William, what you want to do is just think about what's, you know, on your heart, what's interesting, and just start working it. Right, Esmeralda?
Exactly.
And you develop it, start putting it out there, William. It's just that easy.
Oh, cool.
You just got to believe in yourself. And apparently it sounds like you do.
Knock down doors, create something good. You never know, William. This can happen. It really could, actually, for the actual moment in time here. Thank you very much, William. Are you inspired?
Thank you.
I feel like you are. All right, good. You said I'm at the Carm on Twitter, William. I want a video from you in the next or a audio podcast in the next month. You got that? If you're not on Twitter, sign up.
Okay, yeah, I am on Twitter, but I forgot my password, and I'm having trouble getting back on. I may have to see if I can start a new account.
You hit that, get new password, get your password.
Or start a new account. Either way, it doesn't matter. Figure it out. Those are. Don't get bogged down by that. You can get through that. Hit me up at the Carm, or just email me. That's fine, too.
Okay, your name again is?
My name's Mark Carmen. I'm available at WGN Radio. You could Facebook me. M. Carmen at WGN.
Okay, that might work even better.
Great.
Are you spelling with a K or a C?
That's with a K. C-A-R-M-A-N. The Jewish man, not the Italian. Thank you.
Okay, and Mark is M-A-R...
K, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mark, and then Carmen again was a C?
C-A-R-M-A-N, yes, sir. Do you have Facebook,
okay,
William?
All right.
Are you Facebookable?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, my friend. You got it.
We made some dreams happen tonight.
We are a good one.
We're doing what we can. Yeah. I love William. I love a passion.
Speaking of passion.
Speaking of. What do we got, Esmeralda?
We have Jeff Jenkins. He's founder and executive director of Midnight Circus in the Parks.
Jeff, do you hear what's going on in the station tonight?
Did I hear?
Yes. Are you looking?
No,
at that.
I just woke up. But he was pretty interesting.
Yeah, we were making some dreams happen.
Very good.
I mean, you're a great tie-in here. You're the founder and you're the executive director of Midnight Circus in the Parks, Jeff Jenkins. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. It's not nearly as glamorous as it sounds, but yeah, we're living our dream.
it's not glamorous. Come on, there's got to be some form of glamour. You're out in front performing for people, right? That's
yeah,
good.
No, we definitely have our upside. We're having a real positive impact all across Chicago. So we're blessed to be doing what we're doing.
And so I hear you have a show today at 3 o'clock, Gately Park. Mm-hmm. What can we expect?
Oh, I mean, first of all, it's a world-class show. I mean, we're fortunate that we attract great contemporary circus artists from all over the globe. Some of them call Chicago home. Some of them tour with all over the world. They get together with us every year when we do this really unique program that we do called Midnight Circus in the Parks. So, you know, 2 years ago, we're the only American circus company to ever headline the Montreal Circus Festival. So that tells you the quality of the show you're going to see right there in your own park.
And do you have to pay?
Yeah, and we have a staggering ticket price of, hold on, wait for it, $5.
Oh, my God.
That's so cheap.
So if you, you show up at you show up at Gately Park today, and you did it yesterday as well, I guess, right?
We packed the tent down at Gately Park yesterday. Over 500 kids, families came out, celebrate right there in their own park, 130 Cottage Grove.
How cool is that? And so what will they see?
Oh, an incredible array of acrobats and performers really from all over the world. I mean, hand balancers, jugglers, tight wire, you name it, we do it in the program. Our own kids perform. They're dynamite little acrobats. Really a fantastic show. Then we got DJ My Boy Elroy there. Provides our music soundtrack.
Wow.
Gives it a real contemporary feel and flavor. Great show. And an intimate, beautiful little purple and blue one-ring big top tent.
Oh, nice. So you got the big old circus tent.
Yeah. It's new, and it's not too big, and it's beautiful, real intimate. I mean, that's part of the charm of the show. And ultimately, it serves as a fundraiser for each and every park we play. We work hand-in-hand with the park district and the park advisory councils. So, to date, this program has raised over $850,000 for local Chicago parks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's really, really, really cool. This is impressive, Jeff. I am proud of you. This is
thank you.
Not that matters to you at all, but it
matters. That means something.
Midnight Circus. I'm just reading what you guys have here. I feel like people are not informed. I wasn't informed. So Midnight Circus was a young brass troupe of performers on a first adventure together in Europe. You were enchanted with the intimate theatrical circuses you saw in small parks and piazzas in Italy and France.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys decided that you were going to bring this to the States, basically? The idea that families could come... Why were you over there at first and, like, what was the background that you had that sort of brought that all together?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we were a performing arts... Performing Arts program here in Chicago, Midnight Circus. We had founded it 19 years ago, and we mainly performed sometimes in outdoor venues, but mainly in theaters. And they're very theatrical presentations that always had a large amount of circus arts. And then we were always socially involved, but we really wanted to do something where we could take the type of shows that we had seen over in Europe and the type of stuff we were doing in the theaters primarily here on the north side, and we really wanted to, as we say, bring circus to the people. And the way to do that was, ideally set up in neighborhood parks all across Chicago up here, So we started with a small weekend of open air shows in Wells Park up in North Center. We hoped against hope that a few people would show up, over 1,000 people later that weekend, we realized we really tapped into something. And so each and every year we slowly expanded. Several years ago, we were able to bring down the show down to Inglewood on the south side, Grand Crossing, McKinley Park. This year, all the way down to 103rd. We played over 15,000 people every year.
Wow.
And as I said, we've raised over $850,000 for local parks. And it's not just that we've raised a lot of money. The show is really a world-class theatrical circus experience. So people who normally don't get to see this type of entertainment in a lot of communities are getting it right in their local park.
That is amazing. Can you hold on for us? We need to take a break.
Yeah.
I know it's incredible at 3:17 in the morning.
Well, who's buying a commercial at 3 in the morning?
You're going to find out right now.
A couple incredibly just brilliant companies.
We'll be right back with Jeff Jenkins.
Very
He's
good.
A founder and executive director of Midnight Circus in the Parks.
720 WGN. Good morning, 3:20. We're talking Midnight Circus in the Parks. MidnightCircus.net. Jeff Jenkins is the founder and executive director and will be performing later today at Gately Park, 3 o'clock. So why is it midnight when you guys are performing in the afternoon, Jeff? Can we put that together, tie that around?
You can tie that around. We actually did perform a couple times at midnight, although admittedly it's past my bedtime. When we created our first show that we opened in a little 50-seat theater on the north side of Chicago, me and my wife were stumbling around for a name. We think we had a show. We had rented the theater, and we were trying to figure out what should we call this ragtag group of folks that we're putting together. And it was late, and we said, it's almost midnight. Let's go to bed. And then that was it. We said, Midnight Circus. That's got a nice ring to it. So let's go with it. So
that's
we ran
awesome.
With it.
That's Midnight awesome. Circus. What's your background, Jeff? How did you get to this point in life? What type of performing stuff did you do as a young man?
I grew up in Chicago. And my wife actually grew up down in Champaign, Illinois, and she was a theater and dance major at U of I. And right out of high school, the day after I left high school, I took off and went to Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey.
Wow.
Clown
so college,
you ran and, away and joined the circus.
I ran away and joined the circus. I did. Yes, indeed. Did that for several years. And then I came back to Chicago. Then me and my wife met, realized we had some common interests. She was doing a lot of theater, a lot of dance in Chicago. And we kind of put our heads together and we wanted to create something that was, you know, that was kind of pushed the boundaries of kind of what physical theater and circus was doing here in Chicago. So 19 years ago, we opened our first show up at the old National Pastime Theater up on North Broadway.
So hold on a second here. Let's talk about your Ringling Brothers experience. I'm fascinated by how was that? Was it fun? Was it as like I completely glorify it. Like, I feel like it's an amazing experience. You're going city to city, you're performing the whole deal. Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I was an 18-year-old kid who grew up in Chicago. So to take off with, you know, the greatest show on earth, as they call themselves, was pretty spectacular. You know, hundreds and hundreds of performers from all over the globe, traveling around, playing different cities all the time. My first show was at the Meadowlands Arena in Jersey. So It was a great experience. Opened up a world to me.
And how long were you with them?
I toured for 2 years with Ringling Brothers, and then I did a bunch of different projects on and off for almost 10 years with Ringling Brothers. Taught at the Clown College, did some other creative work. It was really a wonderful time.
How much social activities going on in the circus, Jeff, if I may?
Look, we did 13 shows a week, so
not a lot of time,
a whole lot of downtime. But we lived on a big long circus train.
Oh my God!
You know, all the performers, everyone travels by train, and Ringling has their very own train. So it was some downtime, certainly.
So hold on a second. You would do the show. You'd get done at what time? Like you do 3 shows in a day, right? Or 2?
Generally 2. Sometimes we did 3 on Saturday and 3 on Sunday. They called that a 6-pack, and that was grueling because each show was about 2.5 hours long.
Wow!
And you know, when I did back when I was 18 with Ringling, when I did my 13 shows a week after taxes, I took home a whopping $163 a week.
No!
Oh my gosh!
Yes, yes.
Are you kidding?
No.
1 a.m. What are they?
I'm not kidding.
So wait a second. You're getting paid $163 on 13 shows. Is that even minimum wage?
I wouldn't think so. Certainly wasn't part of the fight for 15. That's for sure.
Wow. But you were so you were on the train. So there's transportation. Did you have lodging?
We lived on the train.
They feed you.
You've had to pay for your own food.
Oh man.
We cooked in the little kitchenette there. The clowns all had their own clown car, and we'd cook in the kitchenette.
Oh, my gosh. Of course
but I mean, you didn't do it to get rich. You know, you did it for the experience.
And you said
it really
there was
did open up a whole world to me.
You said there was a train. So does that mean I don't know too much about Ringling, but do they not leave North America or?
They don't.
The continent?
They had some shows periodically that, where they would tour over, not really in Europe, but go down to South America and Mexico. But generally, Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus tours the United States because they play big arenas.
Okay.
You know, they play the United Center. And,
right.
You know, places like that, so they need the big sports arenas to play because it's a three-ring colossus of a circus. Quite the opposite of what we do now with our little intimate one-ring show.
Jeff Jenkins is the founder, executive director, Midnight Circus in the Parks, midnightcircus.net, if you want to check them out online. And later today, 3 o'clock, Gately Park, 744 East 103rd Street this weekend. Then McKinley Park, the 10th and 11th, Wicker Park, 16th, 17th, and 18th, 1425 North Damon. Two shows on those days, both next weekend and at Wicker Park. So bottom line, midnightcircus.net. You can get the whole schedule coming to a neighborhood near you. Hamlin Park, which is by me. Well, not that I couldn't make it over to Wicker Park or McKinley Park, whatever. But Hamlin Park is right across the street from me. So Saturday and Sunday, October 8th and 9th. So
you got to get out there. Great. We didn't come to Hamlin. We actually used to play Hamlin Park every year. Then we took a couple years off, and now we're coming back. And we're already nearly sold out at Hamlin Park. Great audiences there.
Very nice. Yeah. And can I ask, you said that you have kids performing. Are they like kids of the neighborhood? Is it a program, or how does that work?
No. Well, there's three children who perform in the show. My two kids, my son and my daughter, who are highly skilled, a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. And then we have one other young lady who is she is the daughter of one of our coaches who's was a graduate of the Moscow Circus School.
Was
really an elite level acrobat his whole life. Those are the three kids who perform in the show. I mean, the acrobats who perform with us are really first rate, top tier. When they're not with us, they perform with Cirque du Soleil, Cirque du Soleil, Seven Fingers, you know, world-class circuses all over the world.
And then are you in the shows?
I am in the show. I serve as the ringmaster.
Wow.
And I do a fair amount of, you know, acrobatics for a guy who's pushing well past 40.
Nice. Do you wear the top hat?
Do play a part. I do wear the top hat occasionally. Yes,
very
indeed.
Good.
Yeah, to cover some of the gray hair. But it's the show has a really contemporary feel. You know, again, we have a DJ, and so as much as I enjoyed my time on Ringling, it is not an ode to Ringling by any means. I mean, as a Chicagoan, you go in and you feel really up to date with what is happening in that circus ring.
And you're touching all the neighborhoods in the city, Jeff. I mean,
yeah.
Feel free to speak.
A huge shift.
Yeah,
that's a huge part of what we do.
Yeah, so feel free speak about why that's important to you, and you're trying to bring to wherever you go.
Well, we're Chicagoans. We live, we live up in the Lincoln Square neighborhood. Our kids go to our local public school block away. I've been serving on the local school council. This is my third term. We're very active in our community and in citywide. And we firmly believe as parents, as Chicagoans, as artists, that every child, every family should have access to a safe, clean, well-funded, well-programmed public park and public school. But I won't get on that soapbox right now. And so we really made it our mission and our calling to move the needle in that direction. And for us, it is, it's incredibly important that we sell out our shows in Hamlin Park and Wells Park and those parks, but it's just as important that we're able to bring the type of incredibly high-quality show at a very doable price down to the communities on the south and west sides of Chicago. The $5 ticket price on the south side or the west side, the reason it works first and foremost is because we have some really strong community ties down there. We work hand-in-hand with community organizations, religious leaders, aldermen, park advisory councils to help spread the word, and they serve as the ushers the day of, and they sell the concessions, and they sell ads in the ad book. And the great thing about that is they keep 100% of the concessions. They keep 100% of the ad book profits, and they get a nice chunk of the ticket percentage. So it's a great, not only is it a community builder, it's a fundraiser, and that money goes right back to that community.
That's so awesome.
So you are Midnight Circus in the Parks, Jeff. Thank you so much for speaking with us. Jeff Jenkins, founder, executive director.
Midnight Circus.
Get you guys out there.
Absolutely.
You want to come to the show, all right? I'm telling you, you will be blown away at what you see.
MidnightCircus.net is the website, coming to a neighborhood near you. Hey, Jeff, congratulations on all you're doing. People talk about all the issues going on in the world, and we need action too, not just words. And you're doing it, man. You're showing people a different side of what's going on as far as performing in the community and people getting out and doing things. I think it's awesome. So congratulations.
Great stuff going to happen on the south side of Chicago today. Yes, indeed. Well, thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Jenkins, Alrighty. Executive Director. Founder, Executive Director. Midnight
and
Circus.
Founder.
Wow.
That's crazy. Gately Park, by the way, today at 3, 744 East 103rd Street. $5.
$5
to get in.
That's awesome.
If you are looking for something, it's Sunday.
Yeah, and I'm going to call Jeff offline and bid for a role. I don't know what I could possibly do.
I was going to say Mr. Baddish up there.
Yes.
Should,
yeah, you could be a clown
Give
for,
him a call.
For Jeff. It wouldn't be bad.
I wonder if I have to shave my beard.
No.
Are there clowns with beards?
I think so. You could dye it.
Yeah, that's true.
Color you up, Raj.
Cover me up.
Gets all sorts of stuff going on in that beard.
Yep.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's Jeff Jenkins. It's time for the news. 3:32 on 720 WGN with your news. Here's Roger Baddish.
En San Salvador, en El Salvador.
11 de la noche en Managua, Nicaragua.
Me gustan los aviones, me gustas tú. Me gusta viajar, me gustas tú. Me gusta la mañana, me gustas tú. Me gusta el viento, me gustas tú. Me gusta soñar.
Kind of a theme song for Esmeralda and me, right?
I still remember the day that you realized that President Obama loves this song.
Yeah, the president had his song list came out last time we were hosting a show together, and this was on there, and I didn't realize.
You freaked out.
I did.
You had a bit of a freak out,
yeah,
and then you made us play it every time.
I did. We got
every break.
We went a little overboard. I think Roger got mad at us.
Every break was Me Gustas Tu.
Well, who was producing that night? Was it Craig?
Craig
was producing,
yes.
Right. Well, I think he just dived in there and just kept playing it.
He just kept hitting that repeat button.
Right. He was feeding the beast. I wasn't really asking for it. I'm not taking accountability
right
now.
But you weren't mad. You weren't mad about
it
that it kept playing.
No, I absolutely 100% wasn't mad. You actually, speaking of the president, you were getting excited about the coolness of Michelle Obama, were you not?
Yeah, well, they're both cool.
They are.
So Michelle Obama was speaking at Howard University. Giving out her wisdom.
Right.
And then President Obama's like, I'm going to throw a music fest on the White House lawn.
How cool is that?
What?
Right?
That's, they're so cool.
See, the Obama detractors out there, you're going to miss him when he's gone. Just want to let that,
yeah.
We haven't had that level of coolness in the White House in a long time.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's decided, hey, let's do a music fest on the White House lawn.
I mean, the guy's playing, he's playing hoop, he's having music festivals.
Yeah. What else does he wears dad jeans.
He wears dad jeans.
Someone does need to tell him about the dad jeans. But Michelle, who looks much better, she always is on point.
How many people would sign up for Michelle right now over Hillary? Would that be 99%?
This is like a House of Cards situation.
How so?
Wanting to switch out.
Yeah, right?
Throw her in instead of... That would take some House of Cards finagling, I think.
Hillary, we've decided that you're out. We're going with Michelle. She's just too cool. We're keeping it in the family. Is that even legal? Can you do that? I'm assuming not.
I mean, she's going to have to run and do all the things.
She has to run for it? We can't just like...
Yeah, you can't just go, hey, let's do this one.
Hand it off?
Let's have Michelle.
Yeah.
No, there needs to be votes, procedures.
If Obama ran right now, what percentage of the vote would he get against Trump?
Oh, I don't know.
Would that be 93%?
I mean, people are pretty mad at Hillary.
People are. They are.
They're pretty mad at
her. Pretty, and they're even more mad at the Don. So he
could probably scoot in and be like, hey, guys, no?
I think Obama would get, for real, I think he'd get like 65%,
yeah.
Something like that.
You could pull a Ryan Gosling, hey, girl.
What's up?
And everyone would be like, yes, please be our president again. No, but Michelle was at Howard University doing like a back-to-school thing on Thursday. at Howard University with Seth Meyers and Nick Cannon for some reason.
Okay.
They were there. But she was giving them some advice, and I think we have some audio on that.
Give it up for the First Lady.
Even there, people are excited.
You know, when I applied to colleges, I had people who told me that I was reaching too high, that the schools I was applying to were too much for me. You know, and then I got there and I looked around and I thought, I'm as smart as these people. What were they thinking? You know, so there are a lot of people who will try to step on your confidence based on their assumptions about who they think you are. You know, and what you have to remember is that you are competent and capable and able to do it. So for all of you sitting here with those doubts in your head, because those whispers of doubt, they stay with you for a very long time. Ignore them, brush them off, and just do the work. Just do the work. And it's the doing of the work that gets you through. It's not what other people think of you. And I still carry that with me today as First Lady of the United States, because there are people who don't think I should be doing that either. And it's been about 8 years now.
So she's right, right?
She essentially, in that little speech, she just did everything we were trying to do the first hour.
She did.
She said it in a few sentences, like, just go do it.
Well, and but there was a lot in there. Number one, it's just important, right? You have to believe in yourself.
Yes. No, completely.
And you also have to dream it big. And no matter where you're at, I don't care if you're 78 or 8 years old, have it, put them out there. Dreams, goals, whatever it is, what you're doing next, put it on paper and look at it. The third I've been thinking about a lot because I'm creeping.
What's that mean? What?
Well, like 0 to 30.
Okay.
You know, you're coming out of the womb, then you're a kid, then yeah. You're going to school and you're mm-hmm. starting your career, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a huge tenure. Now 30 to 60, mm-hmm. hopefully you've established yourself, you've developed good habits, and now you're right. Now you're in your career and hopefully you're making some dough. Mm-hmm. I know, believe me, I feel you. And but then you get to 60. Let's say you've just done it quote unquote right and you've made some dough and you're kind of set up, and let's say you did the whole marriage thing and you mm-hmm. had your kids and they're out right. of the house now.
Okay.
Now you're 60 years old. Okay. And you don't necessarily need to work anymore. Let's say you're that successful. Okay. And what do you do? Like what?
Well, ideally you're supposed to do what you want to do.
Right.
Whatever.
Right. But it's like some people, I think, like at least old school, right? You get to retire and do nothing. That's not, to me, that's ridiculous. Like, why would you want to lay down, sit on the couch and watch TV? Like, you have an opportunity at that point to do what's ever the most important to you, whatever you enjoy the most. You can, and on some level, I almost think you do have some responsibility to give back. You've developed, you've created, you would think, all this wisdom.
Sure.
You know, you've got all this wisdom from living. And how do you want to pay it forward and help people who are coming along, all that type of stuff.
I like that idea.
Right? So the third, like the 60 to 90-year-old crew, people are living longer and longer, although mm-hmm. I think we just ticked down a year. But it doesn't matter. People are my dad's in his 90s, knock on wood. Hopefully he's got another, you know, however many years to go here. Those people, it's important that you teach, in my mind, the lessons that you've learned. So people
pay it forward.
Right. Make hey, I didn't do this and I regret it. Try to listen to me here. It will help you.
Right. Or I've done it.
Right.
And now I'm gonna show you.
Right.
I'm gonna teach you all the tricks and the secrets right. and the this and the that.
I mean I
that's ideally what should happen. But yeah. No, I'm with you completely. I don't understand the whole let's not do anything, because I did that in the beginning. I did that in the 20s.
Right?
I'm cool with that. I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, it was at the time it was like, yeah, it's cool, just hang out. But then you realize, yeah, right. it's not that cool.
Yeah, no, you get bored.
Right.
I get real bored.
And it's unfulfilling. So I'll tie this into sports because I like sports. So there's this guy on the Chicago Cubs. His name is Chris Bryant. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
He's the one in the ads.
Yeah, he's
for
Express.
Yes,
he did a Lyft deal on YouTube where he was a Lyft driver and people.
Was he naked?
No.
Wasn't the naked one?
No, that's Arrieta.
Oh, okay.
He's hot. Love his body. Great look.
It was good,
Joey? I mean, it's okay.
I guess we can all agree on
that. You can say that.
You can... Are you Sox or Cubs in there?
Cubs.
Okay. Felt like a little bit of...
So Chris Bryant,
he was asked, because he's having this incredible year, right? He's going to be the MVP, and he's just... This is a guy, okay, just to give some background here. Number 2 overall pick has been, you know... Did the home run derby, his dad pitched to him. And there's...
Wait, what?
Like when he did the home run derby at the All-Star game, his dad was the pitcher. He's just out there with his dad who, you know, taught him baseball, the whole deal. Okay. So, hey, dad, throw the ball right here. I'm going to hit it 700 feet and I'm going to win this derby. He didn't win, but it was just cool to see him out there just smiling at his dad.
That's cute.
And so he's talking about his preseason goals. Could his own preseason goals actually be higher than what he's reaching? And this is Brian to, a reporter. I'm not going to say I look at them every day. I think if you write them down, you're more likely to achieve them. This is a high performer here teaching you how he goes about his business, right? Brian was asked if he is the type to make his goals attainable or in essence unachievable, raising the bar so high that he has to keep reaching for them. Chris Bryant, you have to put them that way. It's what keeps me going and determined. They're not just individual goals. They're team goals, mental goals, off-the-field goals, those type of things. So, I mean, he's doing everything, right? Hey, I want to be this. I want to hit X amount of home runs, and I want the Cubs to win the World Series, and I want to, I don't know if he writes down, be the MVP or whatever else. Then he's got, like, I don't know what he's talking about with his mental goals, but obviously there's some stuff going on where he's working that side of him, too, and the physical.
Are your worst enemy,
right? You're against.
So he can psych himself out completely. He could have all the physical, and then if he in his head, he's like, "No, you're not good."
That's a big learn.
Ruin
too.
You.
Like we're all. I think it's a huge learn. Like we're all up against ourselves. What do you do?
Sure.
Right. What do you do that doesn't allow you to be the best you, if I may.
Your head. No, I'm one of those people where I think, like, right now, like, someone's going to come in here and be like, no, you suck. You should probably leave. Get out of here right now.
Wow.
You'd never have that? Small group of people like that I'm just like, when are they going to find me out? When are they going to find out? Like, I'm an imposter. Like, they don't.
So you don't think you're good enough?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's always that in the back of your head. You're like, am I good? Can I even move forward or can I? Like, is someone just going to be like, we found out you're not that great. You should leave right now.
Right. So, like, ooh, are they going to figure out that I don't belong here?
One of these are going to phone call and be like, don't come in.
Right.
You're done. It's like,
So we need some self-validation going on here for what you've done, Esmeralda.
Oh.
Right? But that's got to come
from... You never
from...
have those thoughts?
Of course I do. Of course I do. Kidding me? I have those and I have a million others. Like, for me, it's like... I mean, I'm coming in here tonight, I'm dancing, I'm doing jumping jacks. But like, when you do this particular business, as we get deep here at 3:49 in the morning.
This is the time.
You inevitably, you are going to go through a roller coaster, right?
I mean,
I've been fired, stations have gone away, whatever. There's a lot up and down in the business. Okay, so, but to be successful in the business, in my mind, you have to bring a lot of energy to it. To your preparation, to being on the air. Like, there's a lot that goes into it to constantly be excited about it. But when you get knocked down, sometimes it's hard to have that energy, right?
That is true.
So then, how do you bring your own enthusiasm, your own energy to it? You're up against you there. Like, no one else is going to do that for me. I gotta be fired up. Things are going to work out. This is going forward. Come on.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, I think people in whatever they're doing career-wise or relationship, like, they're up against themselves energy-wise. Like, they're just talking themselves down. And you can't have that. It's
for sure. It's a thing you got to shake. You got to shake it off. You got to shake it off.
Right. I hope we just help
but
someone.
The whole thing with Chris Bryant, it's like the whole thing with why does Coca-Cola still have ads? They're like pretty much the number one soda.
Right.
But they're still, they still have ads out. There's still billboards and this and that because they can never, you can never stop. You can't just sit on your laurels. Is that the,
right.
Is that the right term?
Right. Hey, we
rest on your laurels and be like, yeah, no, I've made it, whatever.
Yeah, Coke can't
get knocked down.
Coke can't go to the couch because then Pepsi's going to come up.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not time for Coke to retire.
Let's not, no, Pepsi, no.
You need to validate yourself, Esmeralda, but the 608 is texting and saying Esmeralda is a great host.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, 608.
Don't see any text for Carmen. It's okay.
Oh, no.
It's all right. Don't worry about it.
Even I got one today.
Yeah, Joey got one, right? Joey's in.
Come on, guys. Somebody text.
Text before that, 847. Great hearing Esmeralda tonight. Hopefully WGN keeps looking for a co-host for Mike tonight. Doesn't really click with her. I wrote that guy back and said it's Mark.
Oh, no. Come on. I had a bad one. A few days ago. Someone told me they didn't like me in the afternoon. So I was like, cool, thanks. Good thing I'm not there anymore.
did it bother you? It does.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. You don't want to hear the negative. Yeah. That's why some people, when they talk about the text, they don't read them.
I kind of get off on it. You don't like me?
Oh, boy.
I mean,
does it make you stronger?
In a way,
that kind of
thing? It does feel good. Like, okay, I'm just going to water off a duck's back. You don't like me. Well, it's another one.
You build up the armor. You're like, yeah, right. Whatever.
I am impenetrable.
There you go.
You cannot get to me. You don't like me? I'm going to prove to you that eventually you will. We're gonna be on board.
Oh, boy. That was the best. I wish, if you're watching WGNRadio.com, if you're watching the web stream, I hope you were able to catch that little...
Do people watch the web stream?
Yeah, they do.
Really?
Yeah, no. Once I was braiding my hair and someone called in to say... that they liked me braiding my hair.
Interesting question for you coming back along those lines. It's a little bit uncomfortable, but I want to...
Let's do it. Okay. It's 3:52 in the morning.
Right, okay. Right. We'll see how Esmeralda talks me through this interesting / embarrassing / I shouldn't share this on the radio moment. That's next, 720 WGN. Everybody wants a blast of magic, 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 magic. 720 WGN. Good morning. 3:55. I'm Mark Carmen. She is Esmeralda Leon. We are your overnight entertainment in for Dave Plyer.
Do we have magic?
I think we have got
some
magic.
Is that that song was implying?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
A little magic. Come on. I just saw on Facebook that girl that I did have magic with back in the day. For one split second in time. I don't even know if it was that long. She's just in the hospital and got cracked ribs and whatnot. Apparently got injured riding her bike. Some dude was irresponsibly driving his car. So,
oh, boy.
This was when I was living in Austin, Texas, and I was looking for somebody to dye my hair I wanted a professional cut because I was trying out to be a game show host for something that I found on Craigslist.
Nice. Oh my gosh.
Have I ever told you
you're
that story?
You're opening a whole box. This is a whole Pandora's box you just opened up.
Well, I was doing play-by-play for a D2 college, St. Edward's University, and I was looking for opportunities, right?
Okay.
So I see this thing on Craigslist. Would you want to be a game show host? Now, it was for a gay game show.
Okay.
All right. So I'm like, I'll do whatever. So
what did you do on it?
So I forget exactly, but it was sort of like a Family Feud style thing.
Okay.
So I go in to try out. I wear, you know, bright colors, orange V-neck sweater type of look.
What color did you dye your hair?
I just had a good cut.
Okay.
But I met this girl, Melissa, who had this injury because she was starting up her salon business and she was on Craigslist trying to build clients. So I said, hey, I need this cut for this game show.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up dating for a little while and then I had to move out of town and all the whole deal. And I still regret it to this day because she was awesome. But anyway, the point being here, I tried out for the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Rocked it. Was complete and got the gig. Like they were you're the guy.
What?
So then a week later, they're talking to me like, they're looking at me like, wait a second, are you gay? I'm like, no, I'm not. Oh. And then a week later, I was out. I got booted. because they wanted the gay game show to have a gay host, and I wasn't.
Yeah, but
right? Isn't that wrong?
You were into it though.
I was into it.
I mean, the show, not the...
right. Thank you.
But oh, that's not fair.
Right. I was,
I feel like, if you had the enthusiasm and they liked you and they hired you,
it was, I mean, I thought it was
shouldn't
a great,
matter.
I would love to be a game show host, right?
That would be fun.
Wouldn't that be a cool gig?
You should set that up again. YouTube.
Let me think about that. Game show host, like Price is Right style, or something else.
You could take over for Steve Harvey.
I mean, has anybody had a better career than Pat Sajak? What has that guy had to do for his
Bob
life?
Bob Barker?
Are you kidding me?
I mean, Family Feud had some bumps with their hosts.
That's true.
They had a couple bumps, but I don't think that's about the feud. That was their issues.
Joey, can you give me a feud theme song, please?
Yeah, let me hear your voice. I want to hear your game show.
I forget
bravado.
What do they say for the feud? Baddish, do you remember what they say for the feud?
Jones family, Marcus family. Let's get ready to play the feud.
Oh, okay, there you go. All right, Mark, come on.
And now, here's your host.
See, Roger's going to out-game show you.
Mark Carman.
Hey, it's time to play the feud.
I like it.
Tonight, we've got the Leon family led by Esmeralda. And the Gelman family. Joey, young Joey superstar. And shockingly, Roger Baddish has been adopted as part of the Gelman family.
Wow.
Now it's time to play the feud.
I like it. I think it could work.
Wow.
I think you could totally, you should look up, I mean, there's a lot of shows. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
You know, yeah, Joey, online they actually have feud questions and the answers with the percentages and the votes. We should play. I, honest to God, I did this when I was
by
teaching.
Yourself,
no,
oh, okay.
I did this when I was teaching, and we did Shakespeare and some other stuff. And I actually had it set up as a PowerPoints where you have the sound effects of the buzzer when they got it wrong, or the ding when they got it right, and the answer would turn around. Oh, it was fantastic!
That fills the next hour.
There you go.
we got ton planned for the 4 o'clock hour. So, but
we're gonna bring in entire families right now.
My uncomfortable question for you before we get to Roger's news, and
okay.
I know we're late.
Yeah, and I'll stew on it.
So let's say you're on public transportation, mm-hmm. and you go with like a quick nose little 1-2.
Okay.
And now something, you know, you get a little something comes out, and right? And it's thumb and second finger. What's the second finger?
Index finger.
Thank you. What do you do? How long do you hold it? How long do you fake like there's nothing there? How do you get rid of it? What's your strategy? Go.
I was gonna say, let me think about it.
You're repulsed by this, but I know it's happened to you, right?
Of course, I'm a human being.
Right.
Though.
So well, then, what do you do? How long do you wait? Do you look around, or you just like openly just flick it? Like what's the move? Mm-hmm. What's protocol there? Joey Gelman, you're on the L. You get a little extra coming out of the nose. What do you do? It's trouble, right?
It is trouble. I think you play it off for a little bit, but then kind of do like the mini violin and the fingers together, and then it kind of goes away.
How does it go away? By just rubbing it between your fingers?
Then it stretches when you pull your fingers apart.
Oh, my gosh. I just, you know what?
I think it works.
I may look at it and go, what just happened there? And then wipe it on my pants.
Right. Like, on your pants?
I mean,
that's fine.
What, are you
going
to wipe it on the shirt?
No,
or on
but
the,
I,
on
no,
the chairs?
That, that's hitting the ground. That's going in the Yale crevice.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. That's I know. Had that happen on the whatever they call the New York transportation system. And I'm like, this is embarrassing. Is anybody looking at me? Okay, I think it's safe now. Then I realized, you know, this could be a radio topic. It'd be brilliant at 4
and,
o'clock in the
and
morning.
That's going to fill the 4 o'clock hour.
Right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago. Play the finger violin at WGNradio.com. Joey Gelman's greatest moment on the station. To this point, there's more coming. Definitely, but that was strong. News at 4 o'clock with a man who's never played the finger violin. Here's Roger Baddish.
You send me free. Send my love to your new life. Hello. Treat her bad. Gotta let go of all of our
So I was driving in tonight. This one was rocking. I got totally into it.
Seriously, next time I host with you,
yeah,
I'm going to set up my Facebook Live, because every time a song comes on that you dig, just the look on your face and then the moves, the dance moves are amazing.
Well, listen to
the whole thing is amazing.
Listen to the passion she's bringing.
Oh, well, again, remind listeners that they can view us on the website.
I know, but I'm staring right at him.
Yeah, I know.
So then you can get real detail.
That's true.
Because they'll just see the back of his head.
One more, Joey. One more. Give me a little more.
Rock it.
And I want to keep the Facebook Lives so I can look at them whenever I want to. Because, I mean, come on.
There he goes.
It's amazing.
I see you, Adele. You're bringing it. I'm pro. You can film me dancing all you want. I would love it.
And then I'll have a little Mark Carmen every day.
Oof. Little is about all you really want, so it's perfect. 4:10 in the morning. Good morning.
Yeah.
I just learned more about Esmeralda and her career in the in your news update. Didn't hear a thing you said, Roger. No offense.
That's all right. Not a problem.
Oh no.
But I'll be completely dialed in for the entire 4:30. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that Esmeralda. You worked with Johnny B.
Yes.
And you had a break in your radio career.
A very long break.
Like a 5-year break, right?
I did.
And you got back in by sending a demo from Johnny B, and which got you back in, and then eventually you wound your way to WGN. How cool is that?
Did traffic. Still do traffic.
I mean, that's...
But, yeah.
I
so, for William...
Yes.
Earlier.
We've been talking about dreams all night and making things happen. And what have you not done? What dream is still out there for you? Call us 312-981-7200. We'll try to move that dream into action for you. What I like to call a radio ISAP, which is your idealized state action plan.
Oh, wow.
Where are you? Where are you? Where do you want to go? What are the pathways? We can help you do that right here on 720 WGN, your ideal state action plan.
Did you? Oh, my gosh.
You like that?
Is that your thing, or is that from something?
That's from something.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, you need to copyright that.
Right. Well, that's a thing. That's a legit thing, and you can hit me up offline, and I can tell you how you can actually have a professional one of those done.
Oh, my gosh.
It's really something.
Did you at any point try to be like a motivational speaker?
No, but maybe
have you ever?
I'm working on.
Been in that situation where you?
I'm working on. I'm working on some transformation. I actually think I'm planning on writing a book about sports transformation, real true story, about just different guys who have made moves in their career. Because if you look at, like, you know, sports is my thing, and if you look at guys like tennis just came to my mind, like Andre Agassi, right?
Okay.
5, 6, 7, 8 years old. His dad's a tyrant. He's got him on the tennis court. He's got him with this like ball machine that he hates because the balls just kept firing at him, and he never in the net, never in the net. Andre, he had to. So it was just it was like survival for him, and he gets himself all the way to number one in the world. Right? He's Andre Agassi. He's in his teens, and he's number one in the world. Well, then he rebels because he hates tennis because he felt like he was forced to be out there. Does drugs. You know, stops being as committed, falls to 150 in the world, 200 in the world, reinvents himself. Like you remember with the long hair, right?
Yes.
Now starts going bald, goes full shave and like works his way all the way back to number one again, playing with the mental side of it. I just think it's super interesting how there's so many great athletes in the world, but there's only a few, a very, very select few, that actually make it to play. Now, what was going on up top that allowed them to get from, I'm super talented, but now I'm a pro. I make, you know, and I make millions of dollars.
A lot of them have amazing stories.
I mean, they really do.
Just throw them in one book by Mark Carmen.
So, yeah, I want to sit down and I'm going to start. This is, by the way, this is a conversation for a Todd Manley and Company that I will be doing. So I'm going to start, you know, just blogging each story. Then I want to compile them all into a book. Huh?
Would you talk? Would you try to interview?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the plan. I want to sit down with these jokers.
Yeah.
And get a whole, what's your story?
I'm imagining one of those, it's kind of like those 30 for 30s almost.
Right. Right, like an individual 30 for 30 on each of them. And then each is a chapter. Gelman, would you buy the book?
Absolutely.
Or at least read it?
It's interesting.
Yeah, don't you think?
There's so many transformations that you could think of just, you think of him as the athlete on one hand, but the, like you said with the Agassi, there's that whole avenue that you kind of maybe forgot about 20 years later that you wanted to bring back.
Right, they've all had some crazy path that got them to where they're at. Like, how did you get there, man?
It's a very behind the music.
Right.
But sports.
Right, in a sporty way.
Oh, and then you do the TV shows, and then they'd be like, but then.
Right.
Drugs.
My dad was this. We used to be on the, he would take me out to the field. Like, I know this is a random guy, but Billy Butler, who I knew when I was in Kansas City, who is now with the Oakland A's. You know, Billy Butler, great hitter. How did you do it? Well, I told my dad when I was 7 years old that I wanted to be a baseball player. And he said to me, do you really want to be a baseball player? Yes, I do. Okay, well, then we're going to hit every single day. And literally, they went to the cages every day. Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever holiday you want to throw in there, they went every single day. And he worked it.
But now there had to be something that the dad was like, he's got something in
there. Sure,
sure. Because he can't just be like, yeah, let's go every day, and he stinks every day.
Well, that's obviously you have to have a baseline of talent. Okay. But there's so many talented guys. Like, I feel like if I had completely dedicated myself to one sport early on, like if I had just played tennis, I'm not saying I could have been a pro tennis player, but I could have played in college, I think.
Yeah.
If I had really, really dedicated and just played and was out there all the time, bam, 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 every day with a sort of an intention that I am going to make it. I believe that I'm going to do this.
Do you think only you could have done it, or would you have needed other people to push you along?
Oh, no.
Hey, come on.
No, I would have needed a ton of support.
Okay.
And I think the people that actually get there, and it's great if you have it from yourself, but like, let's be real, you're 6, 7, 8, 10-year-old, 12-year-old kid. Like, that person's going to need people around them that are believing in him, guiding him, putting him in the right spot. Nobody's going to be able to do something that like that alone. It's not going to happen.
Right.
You need a team, whether mom, dad, cousin, brother, whoever, some mentor, somebody's taking interest in you to do what they're doing. It's too competitive.
Because I asked my mom when I was little, because I liked to dance and dance around and stuff. I'm like, Mom, how come you never like put me in any classes or anything? She just goes, because you never asked for it. Really, Mom? Come on, I'm a little kid.
Right.
You should have just took it upon yourself.
No disrespect to Mom, but Mom should have.
No, trust me. I'm like, come on, seriously?
Right.
I had to ask you?
Well, I was talking with my dad the other day about tennis, and he's like, well, did you ever think about, playing when you were younger? I'm like, yes, I did. But, like, if I was going to get to the level that you're talking about, I needed some push. Like, I needed to be thrown into, like, I've gone to, my family takes vacations every now and then, and so we've been to one Club Med that's the only Club Med that's in the States down in Florida, and they have a tennis academy there, right? And so these kids are coming from all over the world, and they're 5, 6, 7 years old. Now, you need money to do this type of stuff.
Right.
So some of them, the super talented, are sponsored. But most of them, a lot of them are just, they come from dough, and they can do it. And it's a lot of money, $40,000 a year. They board them, they school them, they teach them tennis. But I look at these kids, and they're on the court, super competitive, and they're learning, how to handle success, failure, competing. It's going to help them all across their life, whatever they end up doing.
That's true.
And they're like light years ahead of the game. Now, it's not a standard life of a kid, but on the other level, on the other side, it's like you can make it, they can be a kid too. And like, for me, if I was 9 years old and I had been on the court all the time like that, I would have been having a blast. I would have loved it.
You think? You don't? But yeah, but they have to be strict.
Strict to a point. Like, I watch these kids. They look like they're having a lot of fun.
I would have been like, and I'm done. They're like, no, you're not. I'm like, yes, I am. I'm going to go now.
Right. Well, you do have to, like, the kid's got to have a lot of want.
That is very true. But
it's not going to be for everybody. Joe, look like you're chomping at the bit in there.
Oh, no, you're fine. I just was saying that's why I think that kind of story would be so interesting, because their upbringing is so different. It's like the 12-year-old that's going to college, like you mentioned, their childhood or their path is completely separate, and it shows you what you actually have to take and have to sacrifice to get there. I mean, if you're hitting tennis balls since the age of 5 on at an academy, you're not going in normal school or hanging out with normal friends on a Wednesday night, or Wednesday night you don't hang out, Saturday night and go to the movies. But it's completely different, and that's why I think it's an interesting untold story.
Right, and there, but you're around your tennis buddies. You're around people that are doing the same exact thing as you, and that's your life. Like you get up, you go to class, and then you're on the court from 9 to noon, and then you go back.
You gotta love it, yeah.
Right, and then you go back to class, and then you're back on the court from 4 to 7, and then when that's done, maybe you're staying around with your friends, and you're hitting more. And they're hitting living bejesus out of that time.
Oh,
I mean, it's just, you watch them. I get super jealous. I'm like, wow, I would love to be doing that. Can I go back to being 8 and have that gig? That would be a lot of fun.
You know, it was the same story.
Who's that?
Beyonce.
Right?
She was a kid, and her dad would just push him. Her and the other teammates, or her teammates, her band members or whatever, they were like 10, 11, 12, and they were running around, they were singing, doing all this stuff. Like, he would have camps in the summer for the girls that were on this, in this group. And then they got to, what's it called with Ed McMahon?
With
the talent search?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they got on there.
Well, and
now I mean, that wasn't the end of the story, because now we got Beyonce. But yeah, no, she worked crazy hard.
Well, and now I'm starting to think right about balance. Like, how do you be a responsible parent and pushing your kid, but also not alienating your kid and making sure that they love it and it's for them and it's not for you living out some dream that you didn't accomplish.
Right.
You know, that all that.
Because you see that with pageant moms too. It's frightening.
It is. John McEnroe, you know, one of the greatest tennis players of all time. I interviewed him and I asked him, like, you know, how do you create the balance what's your recommendation as far as, you know, you got a kid who he's into sports and he likes tennis, but you don't want to push him too hard. He's like, well, I played everything. He's like, nowadays people think you got to specialize in tennis at 5, 7, 9. I don't agree with that. And he's got his own academy. He's like, listen, parents come up to me all the time. They ask me and then they just disagree with me. Like, no. He's like, okay, well, you know, do it your way then. By the way, I'm John McEnroe. You know, you might want to listen to me.
I would be scared just for him yelling. I would not want to go up and, like, say something against him. Be like, okay, no, sorry, John McEnroe. I'm going to, no, cool, whatever you say.
He's mellowed out some, but yes, I'd be afraid of that, too. I've interviewed him. He plays senior. They've got this, him and Agassi and Jim Curry, or they travel around. They call it the... I forget the whatever it is. It's the traveling senior circuit of
okay.
And people come out and see. They were recently at the UIC Pavilion. It's fun. I've seen them a bunch of times. But, you know, McEnroe's out there on the court. He's competing. And I've interviewed him after the matches. He smells. It's great. Like, he's legit. I mean,
well, I would hope so.
57 years old, still doing it.
Does he yell and he's not yelling as much?
He puts on the show because people want to see that. But he's also, I mean, I think they try to keep it close to a point, but he's trying to win out there.
I mean, I kind of dig the yelling.
Right?
Because if I was out there, if I'm ever playing sports, which is few and far between, I am yelling. I'm yelling and getting mad. Like, no, that's not right. So I love when he gets all angry and starts yelling at people. That is the best to me.
It made him maybe the most popular tennis player of all time.
No, that is the best. And speaking on the other end of it, we have a text from the 630.
Yeah, right. Read that. I was looking at it.
My grandma became an award-winning restaurateur in her 50s because my grandpa wanted to own a restaurant and thought she was a good cook, even though she had no restaurant experience and would rather write. And he says, by the way, in her 70s, she won some prestigious writing awards, some pieces based on that restaurant. So she, dang.
Right?
She really...
reinvent
forward or went forward with the whole let's do something else
third
there, right? You go, your third
reinvented herself in her 50s with a restaurant, then starts winning writing awards in her 70s. How cool is that? And then 847's texting in, but then you have the other side, like the Jimmy Pearsall life story, where all the fatherly discipline playing baseball kind of made his brain go haywire. They're talking about that balance. By the way, my guy in the 773, I see you, was talking to me, can we start calling you Ball Boy? Yes, you can, my friend.
You got that dream?
I do. 312 texting, Carmen, the flip side of positive transformation, Nick Kyrgios, who has the talent to be number one in the world, retired in the third set last night. He said he didn't want to be there. He apparently injured a hip or groin muscle or something. McEnroe was calling the match, called him out on the air to leave tennis if he really doesn't want to be there anymore. He has no coach, no trainer, and that's why he's getting injured. He needs calm and motivation. Well, here's a guy that's super talented. Kyrgios is this young, long, hits with tremendous force guy, but he has, and I need to do a little bit more research, to be honest, to hear, because I have seen, like, sometimes he's there and sometimes he's not there. He might have to have an Agassi moment where he goes away and realizes how much he loves the game.
How does he have no coach or trainer? I think you can't do that stuff without somebody.
Right, I don't know. Most of these guys, they have a traveling circus. Like,
right.
Part of the cool thing of going to pro tennis tournaments, they have practice courts, and you can actually see the time when they're going to be out there. So these guys come out, they have their whole entourage. Like, you know, Novak Djokovic, best player in the game, coached by Boris Becker, who was, you know, world champion, won Wimbledon at 19.
Oh,
and he's got, you know, all these other people who you don't know who they are, but they're all got towels and picking up balls, and they're feeding, and, you know, he's got a hitting partner who's some 18-year-old kid who never misses and is able to put the ball back right on his racket every time, so he's just going to groove himself.
You know what I say? This Nick guy needs you. If you were the ball boy, you'd be like, hey, Nick, come on.
Nick would be a big challenge for me. I don't know if I'm ready quite for that. Joey's yelling at us. We need to take a quick time out. You want to be on time for 4:30 news, which we're going to listen to intently. That's right, Roger Banish.
Roger, we can see you, Roger.
720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN. As it was just said. Hey, Roger, what's up?
Hi.
Do you have something special for Roger? I believe you have a Tribune read there, do you not?
I don't.
You don't?
Doesn't have a read?
Jeez.
Sounded like she was getting ready to start.
It's my fault. Today at 1, the White Sox tangle with the Twins. Then the Cubs are in Milwaukee Monday at noon. You can watch all the action this holiday weekend on WGN-TV. My fault. That was on me. 4:30. Time for the best news you will ever hear at 4:30 in the morning on whatever the date it is right now. Here is Roger Banish. They're going to run back to me because I'm the best baby that they never got to keep. 1, 2, 3, they're going to run back to me. They always want to come, but they never want. I love this song, but it gives women a little bit too much power to make me feel completely comfortable. Always running.
Wait,
back
what?
To you. Listen to the words here.
Yeah. Yeah, perfectly fine. What? I don't see any problems.
I mean, it's accurate.
Yeah. I mean, it's not all the time, but yeesh. Mm-hmm. Do you know she's Rob Schneider's kid?
I only know that because you told me.
You can't even, I wouldn't.
Here we go.
In a million years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You tell them. 1, 2, 3, they're gonna run back to me.
They always want to come, but they never want to leave. So much power.
This is a double entendre, right? Is that correct term?
I think it is.
You are correct.
Okay, good. Thank you, voice of God, Roger Badish.
Speaking of God.
Speaking of God, the Lutheran Hour is coming up at 6.
Yeah.
And also, this is, if you check Twitter right now, what's making the move is Mother Teresa. Long considered a saint by many people around the world, the New York Times writes, Sunday morning, Pope Francis officially bestowed that title at her canonization ceremony, St. Peter's Square. So,
good for her.
How was Mother Teresa not already a saint?
I mean, she died in 1997. That's a long time to be waiting to be a saint.
Roger Badish, how come Mother Teresa wasn't already a saint? You got to know.
Well, they have to go through a lot of...
She's Mother Teresa.
Testing stuff.
Testing what?
Well, the church. The church has a lot. No, not everyone gets to be a saint.
I mean, the stories are clear.
Roger, you're a saint.
Of course the stories are clear. But
so, you know.
Canonization marked a highlight of the Jubilee year that Francis had proclaimed to celebrate the theme of mercy. on Saturday until thousands of cheering volunteers gathered in St. Peter's Square that Mother Teresa was a witness to mercy in our time. Of her canonization, she said, quote, she deserves it. And a portrait of Mother Teresa, the Roman Catholic nun, as an icon of the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm. What I love is that after he's all done, he's throwing a pizza party for 1,500 homeless people.
Hopefully he didn't bring
it. Wait, for real?
Yeah. I just
he would.
I thought you guys were paying attention to the 4:30.
Mark said he would. I said that I didn't say anything.
I just never have anyone to talk to at home, Roger.
I know. You're so
lonely. What about
so
your
lonely.
Ducky? Is it a ducky?
That's true. Arnold the duck.
But
the stuffed animal duck doesn't talk back. See, Esmeralda's here.
No, he just listens.
Right, man, right.
Yeah, but you it's a two-way communication thing he lacks.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, I like that his name is Arnold, only because it kind of sounds like, what is it, Harold the Duck?
What?
Harold the Duck.
What's that movie?
Howard the Duck.
Howard.
Well, it's kind of, it's along the same line. So all I can think of is like Arnold the Duck should have his own little theme.
Do we have a theme song?
It's Harold the Duck.
Do we have a theme song? Harold the Duck, Joey? Howard the Duck.
Wait a minute, let me check if my mic is on. Hold on.
I am.
Yeah, I think it's on.
Yeah. You know what? It's 4:38 in the morning. I know this is my usual times, but come on. Yeah. You ever seen this movie, Mark?
Yeah.
Gelman is the quickest producer I've ever worked with. I mean, the guy's unbelievable.
Yeah. Leah Thompson is in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big space alien duck that talks.
I don't know if I like this.
Have you never seen this movie?
No.
Oh, my gosh. It's not very good.
Yeah.
It's not a good movie.
I mean, I like everything, and I think this song is generally awful.
You gotta get the chorus.
Oh, here we go.
See? Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
good. Got a good beat. You can dance to it.
It's a 4-minute theme song.
Where's the chorus? I just want the chorus.
Sounds like...
He's from another planet where they're all ducks.
Ain't no time to waste, huh?
Leah Thompson is in it, and they have like a romantic scene in it, which is a little frightening. There it is. Yeah. Howard the Duck. Yeah, that's all I wanted to hear.
You did not know that if you tuned in to WGN at 4:39 on whatever Sunday morning this is,
mm-hmm.
You know,
you get a Howard the Duck theme
Howard
song.
The Duck, Howard the Duck references. No, that movie is not good, but it's cute. The duck is cute. If you had one of those, if you had a space alien duck, because he would talk to you, he talks to you. He's from a plant, or he's from a city. On his planet, that's very New York-like, I think.
I would enjoy a space alien duck.
Like so he's sassy.
Like when I hit the pillow this morning at about 5:30, just to say goodnight to the space alien duck. And
what if you had a real duck?
A real duck.
Yeah, people have real ducks.
Like Chelveston the duck.
Are you talking about a duck that you would see in a pond in my house?
Yeah. In the bathtub.
Oh, that would be so adorable.
You feed it a little lettuce in the morning?
Or you'd give it, you get a little baby pool for it.
Ducks eat lettuce?
Yeah, sure. Right?
I didn't know that.
Seeds and things?
815 texting in, very rare that anybody ever asks about tennis, so I want to answer this test. Left turn. Hi, Mark. Just coming into the conversation, your thoughts on Rafael Nadal. I love Rafael Nadal, and I hope he's healthy and back, and I hope he wins the U.S. Open. Those are my thoughts, and I think Rafa, if he hadn't gotten hurt, could have gone down as the greatest tennis player of all time. He's not going to get there because his body didn't allow him to. But
how old is he?
Rafa? I think Rafa is 30 now. Let me double check.
By the way,
that.
I would go with Rafi.
Rafi's that
as a nickname,
the kid singer.
No, but that's Rafi. The kid singer is Rafi.
Right, Raffi.
But a nickname for Rafael, right. Rafi.
30 years old, career winning $78 million.
Wow. By the way, blast working with you guys. I'm turning you over to Dave Schwann.
You're leaving right now?
Yeah, I got to leave because he's got to do the news at 5.
Okay, Roger. Have a great night. It was great
God
to be with you
guys.
Yeah, God bless you back.
Thanks, Roger. Right.
Roger Badish done for the night. Dave Schwann getting ready to take over. When I get the Schwanny news update, it's home for me.
A little Schwanny in the morning.
He's so comfortable.
How does
but
he
the
not
tribe
have a
takes
morning
a hit,
show?
Though.
Oh, that's true.
It's okay. We're doing okay.
You had it for a few hours, so I think
it's true.
That power has been.
It's a good point though, by Joe.
Built up.
Yeah. Rafa won the French in 2009. Wimbledon 08, 2010, the U.S. Open in 10 and 13, and he's won the French Open 9 times. 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Rafa.
By the way, I'm still on this whole Pope pizza party thing.
Yeah, I was. That's too bad that Badge is gone, because I wanted to get a dig at him. Say, hopefully they won't bring the Dominic's pizza to the pizza party, which Badge used to bring in Dominic's pizza, which he loved. He alone, everybody else ate it, but Badge like legitimately thought that Dominic's was good pizza.
It's not bad pizza. Bad pizza.
You liked the Dominic's pizza?
It was all right.
Yeah, I thought it was awful.
I mean, it's a good.
I think it actually took down the chain. The reason why Dominic's is no longer around is because their pizza was so bad.
I think they had other problems, but.
Yeah, they probably did.
I mean, I like Tombstone, so I guess I don't really have a good opinion.
Tombstone's a great frozen pizza.
I love good pizza, but no, give me a Tombstone any day of the week.
Tombstone cheese, Tombstone pepperoni. Gotta have a little
or
flavor.
A sausage. Eh. I don't want a cheese.
I don't know about the sausage at Tombstone. Don't quite trust that.
By the way, how amazing would this pizza party be from the Pope?
That's big time.
They're in Italy.
Yeah, and
you're going to get good pizza.
Speaking of food, by the way, one story that we didn't get to. Can you tell us what's going on with the food truck laws in the city? Because there's nothing that I love more than walking out of WGN Radio and there is a sweet Cuban truck or a taco truck or steak. That's a little bit bold for me. I don't.
Empanadas?
Yeah, and empanadas. There's like a whole thing going on with the food trucks in this city. Food truck people are being, they're trying to make tougher laws so we can't enjoy a good food truck. What's up with that, Esmeralda?
Yeah, the food truck people are saying that they're cracking down. So the city's cracking down and they're saying that the rules are unfair. So some of the rules, they prohibit food trucks from parking within 200 feet of a brick and mortar competition. Parking longer than 2 hours in a single location is prohibited.
Oh, come on.
And so they're saying, the Illinois Food Truck Owners Association is saying that with those time limits, it's making it hard for them to make the food, sell it, and make a profit.
Right. They need to be able to set up, make a fresh food, deliver it to us. We got so many problems in this city. Last thing we need is the food truck people to be making unsafe food because they can't be somewhere more than 2 hours.
Right. And apparently a violation is multiple food trucks set up on the same block. Which is like, that's the best part. When you see a bunch and you're like, it's like a food, it's a food court. It's a little mobile food court.
Let's have some competition. Let's have options.
Exactly. Again, it's never the same thing. So it's like you want some, there's, what is it? The Beaver's Donuts.
Ooh.
Beaver's Donuts food truck. You want some donuts? Empanadas? Yeah, you can get all of that because it's on the same block. Right. You're not going to go running around the city trying to find each one.
Have an empanada, then have a donut.
Have some coffee.
And then you're set.
You can go to work or back to work.
Maybe I should. What do you think? The Carm.
Oh, a food truck?
Yeah. Actually, let's go. The Leon and Carm food truck radio extravaganza.
Oh, we would. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that would be. We would have to get headsets.
We could sell food. And then we could broadcast out of the truck.
Oh, okay. I was thinking we'd do it at the same time.
And we could do that, too. That could be part of the package. But
oh, my gosh. Like, and the guests would, like, walk up?
We would just always be a remote broadcast. And we would just go to different places. And we would set up. We'd do a normal show. We'd sell food.
Okay, this is... Right? I like it. I like this idea.
And it's a midday show. We're serving lunch. It's only lunch.
I am all for this idea, but what are we serving?
Whatever you want. You can.
I guess the easiest thing would be a sandwich.
We could do sandwiches.
A deli sandwich. We could have a nice deli sandwich.
Right, nice deli sandwich. We could have a deal with a chip and a Coke or a chip and a healthy drink.
I like it.
Right?
I like it. And then you feed the guests as well if you have a guest on.
Right.
Would we have a little spot in the food truck where we could interview people?
What the story of the day, what brought you to the truck, our favorite client of the day, we would have to have like somebody like Joey work in the truck and interviewing and
driving.
Finding a driving, yeah, and he would
sell some food as well.
he would have to, you know, he would interview the different people that are coming and just get a feel, and then he would make a great recommendation. Joey could have a bunch of airtime too, so he can, you know, set up his career as well.
We can take this across the country.
We could go big.
Syndication.
Right?
Come on.
We're in New York today. We're in Cali today. We're in Texas today. We're in Alabama today.
I like it.
Sorry, is this a radio food truck? I was on the phone.
Radio food truck, yes.
Oh, I like it.
Right?
But what's the name, though? Did we come up with a name?
Hmm.
We haven't worked on that
yet.
Yeah,
we'd have to think about
that. I was putting Esmeralda's name first, like Leon Carm Truck, but that's not very good.
No, and you know, you have to do it alphabetical.
Yeah, well, we don't have to, but okay.
A Carmelian.
Carmelian.
Oh.
And we can, right, it can transform and
because we transform people.
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
And today we're selling. Maybe we'd have a different food product. You know, maybe we change it each week.
Because like, we're Carmelians.
Right. This week we're doing tacos, but next week we're doing sandwiches, and this week it's a breakfast only. So we're having omelets and some pancakes.
I like it.
This is an amazing idea.
Really?
I think we take this out.
Do you really think we're onto something here?
I kind of do. I mean, people have been doing, what is it? Seinfeld has been doing cars, comedians with coffee and cars or whatever. We can do a whole food truck.
We only got 12 minutes left in the show, and we've got Walter Jacobson's perspective in 9 minutes, so we really only have about 6 minutes. But if you could just weigh in on the text line, 312-981-7200, could yours truly, Mark Carmen and Esmeralda Leon, start a radio show that's midday, serve lunch out of a food truck, travel the country, and make it happen. Would you listen? Or do you think it's a ridiculous idea?
Or eat our food.
Whoever texts in, however many we get, we're going to make the decision based on that. Food for thought, 630.
Oh,
I like it.
Could you imagine the flood of calls? And then we're like, oh, no. Now we got to do this. Who's got a food truck?
We could make moves. We could raise the money.
Yeah.
Steve Cochran would help us.
Set up a mic on a whole
recording,
audio recording
Adam
thing
Phillips
in a food
would
truck?
He would love to engineer out the food truck. It would be a great
do fried foods.
We could, and we'd feed Phillips. That's all we'd have to do with him. Fried foods, cool. Are you down with Adam doing up the truck or do we need one?
No, are you kidding me?
Right?
We have to
it's great
it
idea,
out.
Isn't it? Phillips, are you awake? Call in. See. all right, quick timeout because we want to be ready for Walter's perspective. Walter Jacobson. One of the legends this city has ever seen with this perspective coming up as we build a better career. Food Truck Radio, all together, blending it on 720 WGN.
Lean on me when you're not strong.
This is so appropriate.
This could be the truck, Lean on Me Food Truck.
The 630 said food for thought.
Esmeralda, can I lean on you for support?
Of course.
Thank you. Joey, you in?
Absolutely.
Dave Schwann, you got me?
I got you, buddy.
Thank you.
Aww. Got your back. Good morning.
Good morning,
morning.
Dave.
Folks.
Look at that. Look at that energy. Fresh. Schwanny is fresh.
I've had my coffee, so I'm ready.
You sound good, Dave.
He's Thank
perky
you.
And ready for news.
Did you like our food truck radio idea, Dave? Were you listening?
I do, and I was trying to come up with some ideas for the menu and the name. And you said you were going to be in New York one day and Cali the next.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
Long drive.
Right.
But
you could
go
stop
in
Pittsburgh.
Exactly.
You got the spirit of it, though, Dave. We could be anywhere.
Yeah.
773 food truck idea is great, food truck radio. 815, Esmeralda's idea of stuff it restaurant in a food truck, just put it all on a stick. People eat almost anything on a stick.
I like the on a stick.
When did you come up with that one?
The last, no. This was, you called Dwayne Wade's number for that idea. I think it was Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
He has some, like he's going to give money to anyone with a good idea for a business.
Oh, okay.
And I told you my stuff it idea, and you called in Dwayne Wade's number. I haven't heard any progress, so I think he didn't want it. So it's still mine. I still got it. So we can do this food truck.
Yeah, at least we tried. That's on Dwayne. 773, great idea. 815, sounds good. Jay in Ohio, I would listen from the 740. Thank you, Jay. 708, do it. 630, yes. And you mentioned the food for thought. I mean, it's unanimous. People want the food truck radio show.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a lot of people have your back.
Right?
Aww.
So now it's on us, Esmeralda.
Now can we lean on them for money? Is that the... All of you guys who texted,
we're gonna have to
give some cash.
We're gonna have to raise some dough here. We're gonna have to talk to some wealthy people. We'll start with Jimmy DeCastro, the deacon.
There you go.
Who probably is up right now doing some form of spin class or something. Good morning, Jimmy. Walter's perspective, I bet he listens to it every Sunday at 4:57, which is coming up in 2.5 minutes.
And then what is it, The Great Outdoors?
And then The Great Outdoors, yes, with Charlie Potter will be here at 5. And, of course, Dave Schwann will have your news starting at 5 o'clock as well. So it's unanimous. We're doing the food truck radio show. Now I'm getting nervous.
For the food truck?
I mean, mind you,
none of us have food experience or permits or licenses.
That's not true. You make chicken.
Yeah, but it takes me like a good hour.
I saw a story on the Food Network once about someone who always went to a restaurant every day,
mm-hmm.
had no restaurant experience, but just loved the food. And then one day the owner said, well, we're closing up. This person bought the business and took over the restaurant. No restaurant experience. And they continue to run it.
But she doesn't cook.
I don't know.
I hope not.
Nah, not sure about that. But took over the business there every day.
So I can run the managing part.
Yeah, keep in mind, the restaurant business, that's a 7 day a week. That's a 24-7
Well, we'd be in
job.
That truck for 7 days a week, me and you, Mark. And Joey.
What movie? That's cool. That's fine. I think we. I mean, it's a lot of time together. Sure,
it would be a lot of time.
But you know, we could work on that. I'm a friendly guy, even at all times of the day. I need a nap every now and then, and like I'm gonna take it right after Dave Schwann's 5:30 news. Dave, you're gonna put me to sleep at 5:30. So when you're done, when you're done at 5:30, you can say and good night, Carm. That'd be great.
Good night, and good night from Washington.
Listen to that. The greatest voice in radio. We got a lot of great voices on this.
We
really do. I think Orion actually probably is number one.
I think they should all do some sort of barbershop quartet of voices. Imagine Orion, Dave Schwann.
Roger.
That's the theme as our food truck rolls past every new station.
Right.
And entertainment along with the food.
I don't know if Patty Vassies, by the way, is listening, but she just liked one of my tweets. So if you are, Patty, good morning to you. Or perhaps good night, one of the two.
And I think it's good night.
It's well, who knows?
She's on that same schedule as I am.
Unpredictable. She liked my picture of my U.S. Open tennis ball, which I caught with the left hand. That right? This ball was hit into the crowd by a very upset player. Carm sees it coming. I'm going to stand up out of the seat, leap in the air. Left-handed grab. I was so happy.
And then sat down and went,
Yeah, that's right. Stud. All right, here's Walter's perspective.
For this particular Labor Day, let us pray for bad weather, rainstorms, thunderstorms, hailstorms, and tornadoes. Pray for the worst possible weather. I'll bet that's what Mayor Manuel is doing, praying for enough bad weather to keep Chicago's gangbangers indoors, where they'll be less likely to shoot each other than if they're on the streets outdoors. Bad weather has to be in our prayers for the next 4 days. Because many of our police officers may be taking the Labor Day weekend off. Their union is calling on all Chicago police to refuse to volunteer for overtime as a protest against being disrespected, refuse to volunteer in even the most violent gangbanger neighborhoods, where the need for police on overtime is urgent. August has just been the deadliest month in Chicago in 20 years, more than 400 people shot. Since January in Chicago, nearly 3,000 people shot, more than in New York and Los Angeles combined, and the numbers usually surge on summer weekends. So starting tonight, Mr. Mayor, how about trying something different? Maybe a new strategy, maybe being tougher than you've been. You have to try something. If you don't know what, how about calling Donald Trump? He says he knows. And who knows, maybe he does. You have nothing to lose, Your Honor, so take a chance on a new strategy. Even if there is only a slight chance you can curb Labor Day violence, please, go for it. I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNplus.com.
Way to go, Walter. I miss Walter, man. Growing up, the Walter perspective, 6:30 on your news. I mean, I go back to that time. Esmeralda?
Yes.
I had lots of fun with you.
Oh, thanks. Me too.
get home safe and have a wonderful Sunday.
You as well.
And everybody else, enjoy your Labor Day weekend. Be safe out there. This is Chicago's very own. Thanks to Joey Gelman for producing the show tonight. Great job, Joey. Chicago's very own, 720 WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com. My name, by the way, is Mark Harmon. I'll be back with the beat at 3 o'clock today. Andy Mazur sitting in. News at 5 o'clock, 5 in the morning. Good morning. Here is our guy, Dave Schwann.